ജയം ശുഭാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ അഭിചരണാരവിന്ദ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത ഗോസ്വാമി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് ജയം നിത്യലീലാ പ്രവിഷ്ട വിഷുപാദ പരമഹംസ പരിപ്രാജകാചാര്യ അഷ്ടോത്തര ശതശ്രീ ശ്രീമാൻ ഭക്തസിദ്ധാന്ത സരസ്വതി മഹാരാശീല പ്രഭുപാദിക്ക് അനന്തകോടി വൈഷ്ണവ വൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് നാമാചാര്യ ശിലഹരദാസ് ഠാക്കൂർക്ക് പ്രേം സഹോ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭു നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗര ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ശ്രീ ശ്രീ രാധാകൃഷ്ണ ഗോപഗോവിന്ദ ശ്യാമകുണ്ട രാധാകുണ്ഡഗിരി ഗോവർദ്ധാനിക്ക് വൃന്ദാവൻ ധാമിക്ക് മായപ്പൂർ ധാമിക്ക് മധുരപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ജഗന്നാഥ്പുരി ധാമിക്ക് ദ്വാരകാപുരി ധാമിക്ക് ഗംഗമായിക്ക് യമുനമായിക്ക് തുളസിദേവിക്ക് ഭക്തിദേവിക്ക് സാമവേദ ഭക്തവൃന്ദയ്ക്ക് ഗോവ പ്രേമാനന്ദി ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു അസംബ്ലി ഡിവോട്ടീസ് ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ ഗുരുവൻ ഗൗരംഗ ഓൾ ഗ്ലോറിയസ് ടു ശ്രീ പ്രഭുപാദ നമാമശുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസ്ഥായ ഭൂതലേശ്വരി ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വദേവി ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യദേശധാരിണി ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ ഓം നമോ ഭഗവതേ വാസുദേവായ സംസാരസാഗരേ മഗ്നം ദീനം മാം കരുണാനിധേ കർമ്മഗ്രാഹഗൃഹീതാംഗം മാമുദ്ധര ഭവാർണവാൽ ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതാഖ്യോയം പ്രത്യക്ഷ കൃഷ്ണമേവ ഹി സ്വീകൃതോസി മയാ നാഥ മുക്ത്യർത്ഥം ഭവ സാഗരേ മനോരഥേ മദീയോയം സഫലാ സർവദാ ത്വയാ നിർവിഘ്നേനൈവ കർത്തവ്യം ദാസോഹം തവ കേശവ ഭവേ ഭവേ യഥാ ഭക്തി പാദയോർസ്തവ ജായതേ തഥാ കുരുഷദേവേശ നാഥസ്ത്വം നോ യഥ പ്രഭോ നാമസങ്കീർത്തനം യസ്യം സർവപാപ പ്രണാശനം പ്രണാമോ ദുഃഖശമനം തം നമാമി ഹരിം പരം ജന്മാദ്യസ്യ യതോന്മയാദിതരതസ് ചാർത്തേഷ്വഭിജ്ഞസ്വരാൺ തേനേ ബ്രഹ്മഹൃദായ ആദികവയേ മുഹ്യന്തി യൽ സൂരയ തേജോ വാരിമൃതം യഥാ വിനിമയോ യത്ര ത്രിസർഗോ മൃഷാം ധാമ്നാ സ്വേന സദാ നിരസ്തഗുഹകം സത്യം വരം ധീമഹി ധർമ്മപ്രോജിത കൈതവോത്രപരമോ നിർമ്മത്സരാണാം സദാ വേദ്യം വാസ്തവമത്ര വസ്തു ശിവദം താപത്രയോന്മൂലനം ശ്രീമദ്ഭാഗവതേ മഹാമുനികൃതേ കിം വാ പരൈരീശ്വര സദ്യോ ഹൃദ്യവരുദ്ധ്യതേത്ര കൃതി ശുശ്രൂഷുഭീ തൽക്ഷണാൽ നിഗമകൽപ്പതരോർഗലിതം ഫലം ശുഖമുഖാദമൃതദ്രവ സംയുതം പിബത ഭാഗവതം രസമാലയം മുഹുരഹോ രസികാ ഭുവി ഭാവുകാഃ സച്ചിദാനന്ദരൂപായ വിശ്വോൽപ്പത്യാദിഹേതവേ താപത്രയ വിനാശായ ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ വയം നുമാ യം പ്രവ്രജന്തം അനുഭേദമഭേദകൃത്യം ദ്വൈവായനോ വിരഹകാതരമാജുഭാവാം പുത്രേതി തന്മയതയത്തരവോഭിനേതു തം സർവഭൂതഹൃദയം മുനിമാനദോസ്മി യസ്വാനുഭാവമഖില ശ്രുതിസാരമേകം അധ്യാത്മദീപമതിർഷതാം തമോന്ധം സംസാരിണാം കരുണയാഹ പുരാണഗുഹ്യം തം വ്യാസസൂനുമുപയാമി ഗുരും മുനീനാം നാരായണം നമസ്കൃത്യ നരം ചൈവ നരോത്തമം ദേവീം സരസ്വതീം വ്യാസം തതോ ജയമുദീരയേ കമനീയ കിശോരമുഗ്ധമൂർത്തേ കളവേണൂക്കുണിതാദൃദാനനേന്ദോ മമ വാചി വിജൃംഭതാ മുരാരേർ മധുരീന്ന കണികാവി കാവികാവി നമോ വിഷ്ണുപദായ കൃഷ്ണപ്രസായ ഭൂതലെ ശ്രീമതേ ഭക്തിവേദാന്ത സ്വാമിനിധി നാമിനി നമസ്തേ സരസ്വതി ദേവീം ഗൗരവാണി പ്രചാരിണി നിർവിശേഷ ശൂന്യവാദി പാശ്ചാത്യാദേശധാരിണി ശ്രീമൽ ഗുരുചരണാരവിന്ദാഭ്യാം നമ വന്ദേ നന്ദവ്രജ സ്ത്രീണാം പാദരേണുമഭീഷ യാസാം ഹരിഗതോദ്ഗീതം പുനാദിഭുവനത്രയം ഗോപീചരണാരവിന്ദ പരമാനവേ നമ വരം കരവിരാജിത ചക്രശംഗം കൗമോദകീ സരസിജം കരുണാസമുദ്രം രാധാസഹായമതിസുന്ദരമന്ദഹാസം വാതാലേശമനിശം ഹൃദി ഭാവയാമി കുമളം കൂജയൻ വേണം ശ്യാമളോയം കുമാരക വേദവേദ്യപരം ബ്രഹ്മ വാസദാം പുരതോ മമാം മുഖം കരോതി വാചാലം പങ്കും ലംഘയതേ ഗിരിം യൽകൃപാതമഹം വന്ദേ പരമാനന്ദമാധവം ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണായ നമഃ ശ്രീമതി രാധികായേ നമഃ സർവത്ര ഗോവിന്ദ നാമ സങ്കീർത്തനം ഗോവിന്ദ ഗോവിന്ദ So, when we completed Bhagavatam at the Christmas time, we stopped at the point where Krishna has started instructing Uddhava about Sankhyam, isn't it? That's where we terminated the classes. So, what we have to remember, when we discussed Bhikshagita, the Avanti Brahmana story, Bhikshagita, prior to that, Uddhava asked some questions to Krishna. Uddhava's question, from this on, from next few chapters, only if you give a lot of attention, you will understand what Krishna is talking about. There, the question came up. Uddhava asked Krishna, mind is a very difficult thing to control. How can I control this thing called mind? That was Uddhava's question. Krishna says to Uddhava that one has to first learn to accept any insult what comes from the world. That was the first advice to Uddhava. Krishna also told Uddhava, but there are several ways of doing that, control of the mind. In that process, the first thing was Krishna talked about the Bhikshugita. How is Bhikshugita? Bhikshugita is that how to control this mind through self-inquiry, knowing oneself what we are. This is one of the processes. There are several processes in controlling the mind. From now on you will see every chapter is talking about controlling the mind in different ways. So whichever process suits one, one can follow that. There is so much freedom in the Vedic system that it is not that one system is created and it's for everybody. According to your taste, some persons are interested in the self-inquiry process, which will help them to control the mind. And it is that self-inquiry process that is what was spoken in the Bhikshugita. There are so many processes, but one of them is the process of self-inquiry, inquiring about the self. Those who are inclined in that direction, Vichara Pradhanam it is called, that means thought process, who are interested in the process, thinking process or thought process, for them Bhikshugita was spoken, and that episode we have already discussed. After that, Krishna says there is another way of controlling the mind. How is that? Through Sankhyam. And Sankhyam is the next process that saw by understanding that able to see all the objects in this world, and behind all these objects, Krishna is there. Behind all the objects, there is Krishna. And if this understanding is developed within, then our relationship with Krishna gets established strongly and direct the mind towards Krishna. Direct the mind towards Krishna. This is different than the process of self-inquiry. The difference is, in self-inquiry, you are going inward looking and finding out that the source, Atma, is the only reality. Everything else is false. Is it not? That when you keep inquiring about the self, you come to understand that this world has no existence, this body has no existence, mind has no existence. In reality, the only thing that exists is the Atma. That is one process. In Sankhyam, what Krishna is saying here is that Vishayagaram, Krishna means anything in this world is a sense object. It's a sense object. And realizing that, all of that is Krishna's manifestation. And in that way, knowing that, with that understanding, one can break the connection with the sense objects. Now we are seeing everything as sense object, is it not? Everything actually is a sense object in this world. There's nothing in this world which is not a sense object. Because senses makes contacts with the sense objects, whatever it may be. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Sound, touch, smell, taste, and eye, vision, whatever that is. The five senses, knowledge acquiring senses. These five knowledge acquiring senses is in contact with the sense objects, is it not? So, these sense objects, this relationship with the senses and the sense objects will go if you realize that these sense objects is also a manifestation of Krishna. To make that understanding clear, the whole process of Sankhyam was developed. Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam, which is called Seshwara Sankhyam. Seshwara Sankhyam means where it is accepted the authority of Ishwara, Krishna's presence. And that Sankhya philosophy is that what we have started discussing. This is another process. This is another process. And then after that, if you have developed that process, that suits some people. For some people, process of self-inquiry explained in the Bhikshu Gita, that will suit them. For some others, this manifestation of the creation as completely as Krishna's presence in that and realizing it that way, that will suit those people. That's another group of people. Then there is another group of people who have very strong attachment to things. Asakti. Remember this word asakti? Krishna uses this in the Bhagavad Gita. My asakta manapala. Asakti is not a very good thing. But why Krishna used that word is because we will understand that word. That is why he used that word. It's not a good word to use in the Bhagavad Gita. Particularly a science which talks about the highest self. Asakti is considered to be excessive material attachment. That's called asakti. Without any, that means it is not justified. It doesn't have any logic. You get attached to something and you become blind with that attachment. That's called asakti. And those of us, most of us are in that category. We are not either for Sankhyam or for the self-inquiry. Mostly you will see our own attachment to the various things in this world is so strong. And for them, as well as when we see a namarupam, name or a form, or any sense objects, you will start looking at them purely as an object for gratification. This is the problem. We are not able to see things in a detached manner. Any object in this world, you will look at them and you will see them as an object of sense enjoyment. Object of sense enjoyment. So those people who are in that category, and for ordinary people, whenever they see, as you can see this in people's reaction to things. When they walk around in the shops, streets, they'll see something displayed. That looks very good. Why? Attachment is there inside. It's not that the object is anywhere different than the others. But because of the attachment inside, you get attracted to good clothes and good food and so many things. Everything in this world, you get attracted to good cars and good houses. Everything when you look at, you feel nice, nice. Everything is nice here. Nice, we say it in a polished way. What means is, inside there is strong attachment towards all these things. So for such people, that for them to see that everything is Krishna who is manifested is very, very difficult. So for such people who have come to that situation, that means who have excessive sense attachment, there is only one way, Krishna says, that is to come for satsangam. Satsangam is the only way, because only in satsangam these things will open up our eyes and start seeing things properly. Otherwise it is very much colored with our vasana inside. When we look at objects, it will be colored with our vasanas inside. So therefore, to make that point very clear, the process Krishna is saying through the story of Pururavasa. Pururavasa's story of Aila Gidam is for that purpose. To make us aware, the Pururavas got so attached to Urvashi and so infatuated with that, Pururavas, such a great personality, caught into this problem and couldn't break away from that. If you read through Pururava's life, how could this happen to a man like him who has reached such a higher level? And Krishna says, he is my ancestor. Krishna is saying this. He is my ancestor in my tradition, because Yadu dynasty begins from him. The solar lunar dynasty begins through Pururavas, isn't it? If you remember, in the ninth canto, if you read the first chapter, you will find there that Pururavas was born like that. Buddha and Ila. And the son was born from his Pururavas. Remember all that story in the first chapter. 6 months man, 6 months woman, Sudyumna had to go through. First it was woman, then turned to man, then it was again turned to woman, then again turned to man, 3-4 times back and forth. When all this happened, he finally, Sudyumna said, I had enough of all these things, I'm going, he said. Went to the forest and engaged in spiritual life and went back to the spiritual world. So when that Sudyumna had to go through these changes in his body, that he had to accept the form of a woman as Ila, and that from Ila, Pururavas was born. So, Janma Shuddhi was not there. You know what that means? Janma Shuddhi means, in the type of birth, he didn't have a purity. That is important for them, particularly Kshatriya king. And because there was no Janma Shuddhi, it has affected his nature, character. So, Pururavas somehow or the other, that was the only problem he had. And due to that, Pururavas had got into this situation with Urvashi. And if you read that episode, which we'll come to that later, Pururavas got so carried away by Urvashi's beauty that Pururavas says, I didn't know day and night, he says, how things are going. And finally, it took a long time. Through Salsangam, he came to realize what a life I am leading. I got such a high position in the lunar dynasty, and he was the emperor of the whole world. He was emperor of the whole world, and such a person has fallen into this miserable situation. And he became sensible. And then he sings a song which is called Ailagida. So, those who are got attached to senses and sense enjoyment excessively, those who find it very hard to follow through the process of self-inquiry or through Sankhya process, the third option is spoken. So he got back his power of discrimination. Because he lost his power of discrimination, that's why it happened. It is easy to lose this power of discrimination, isn't it? We get captivated by something in this world and start thinking this is the truth. That is not the truth. So, to know that what's right and wrong, that power of discrimination, it takes time, and he came out of that illusion he had in relationship with Urvashi. He came out of that. So first thing, inquiry, self-inquiry. Secondly, second process, tattva-vicharam or sankhyam. Sankhyam is nothing but analyzing the tattva. Different tattvams, analysis, and then finally salsangam. The third process is salsangam. If all these three processes don't suit us, Krishna says there is another alternative. That is also there. And that is what is called Kriya Yogam, puja, deity worship. Kriya Yogam. So you will look at the chapters. 23rd was the chapter, was the Bhikshu Gita. 24th is Sankhyam. Then, along with the Sankhyam, Krishna also said, if you have difficulty with Sankhyam, there is another way. This is all for controlling the mind. How? By the analysis of the three modes of material nature. All this has impact on us. You have self-inquiry, you have the process of Sankhyam, and after that, the next process, Krishna says, you have the option of the three modes of material nature, understanding it properly, the three modes of material nature, which we are discussing now in the Bhagavad Gita also. So, 15th chapter in the Bhagavad Gita is 3 modes of material nature. Krishna is going to discuss that again here in talking to Uddhava, but on a much higher level than spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. 3 modes of material nature. So we have all these options. Bhikshu Gita, Sankhyam, 3 modes of material nature, and then Ailagidam, and finally Kriya Yoga. These 5 chapters. All for the same purpose, to get the control over the mind. Just see how important it is. Krishna, Arjuna asks a question, isn't it? Chanchalam hi mana Krishna, pramadi balaval dradam. He says in the Bhagavad Gita. So we think control of the mind is, we know that it's not so easy. It's not so easy. And there are so many options how to come to that. If any of these 5 options Krishna has given, if you take it very seriously and try through that, it will have its effect. It will have its effect. One has to know what suits oneself. That option Krishna has left to ourselves to follow that. Either through Bhikshu Gita process, or through process in the Sankhya, or through the process of analyzing the modes of nature, or through the process of Salsangam or Ailagidam, or finally, if none of them is working, Kriya Yoga, the last option. If none of these 5 are working, Krishna says, not much hope after that. He's very open about that. He says, if none of these, I've given you 5 options, if all the 5 are not working, then we have to just call it off. That's all. So, and each one of them has its own limitations. Self-enquiry is not possible for those who are very attached to life in this world, is it not? A certain degree of vairagyam is necessary in self-enquiry. Otherwise it cannot happen, because attention to go inwards, inward-looking nature, is important for self-enquiry. So that is why first thing with the Bhikshu Gita is vairagyam. Bhikshu got vairagyam. That helped him for self-enquiry. That's how you see that. We discussed that last time, isn't it? So Bhikshu Gita is an indication of that. If vairagyam is there, plenty of vairagyam inside, renunciation inside, then self-enquiry will work. But if it's not there, it won't work. It will not work. So, and if you are very attached to sense enjoyment and you are completely lost in that, in sense enjoyment, then Salsangam and Ailagidam will teach you a lesson. Ailagidam will definitely teach us a lesson about that. Similarly, modes of nature, if one is alert about things in this world, how it's affecting him, influencing him, and in that case, if he has the capacity to understand the modes of nature, then that may help. So all these things is these chapters. 23rd is the Bhikshu Gita, 24 is the Sankhya Yoga, 25 is the modes of nature, 26 is the Ailagida, 27th is the Kriya Yoga. After these 5, if you have studied them very well, the cream of Ekadasha Skandam and the most difficult chapter in the Ekadasham is the 28th. Proper analysis of the whole tattvam. Krishna is going to tell us without mixing anything, no more sweet words, directly telling us, do this, no other choice. Do this, no other choice. And that is the 28th chapter. When you study that 28th chapter, it is the most difficult chapter in the 28th chapter is the most difficult chapter of all the 31 chapters in the Ekadasha Skandam. In the 11th canto, of all the 31 chapters, the most difficult chapter is the 28th chapter. Instead of discussing about everything what Krishna has spoken before in Ekadasham, when it comes to this 28th chapter, Krishna will tell you openly to Uddhava, Uddhava, I'm not going to talk to you anymore about tattvam and other things. Just do this and go ahead in this world. See what happens. And therefore, 28th chapter has its own beauty. And then, after speaking about 28th chapter, Uddhava says to Krishna, this is also difficult, he says. It's also very, very difficult by the very nature itself. Then Krishna says, there's only one option then, bhakti. And that is the 29th chapter. So you will always notice one thing. If you are carefully study Bhagavatam, whenever Krishna has spoken about knowledge, the next chapter will be about bhakti. 13th chapter in the 11th canto is all about knowledge, isn't it? Hamsa Gita. Hamsa Gita is all about the knowledge. So as soon as he spoke Hamsa Gita, very next chapter, 14th chapter, is about bhakti. See that? That also you will notice here. These are all interesting things in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, when you start looking at it carefully, you will find a lot of interesting things. What Shobha Maharshi, when he is serving Bhagavatam to Parikshit, how he has put it together. 13th chapter is Hamsa Gita, which is knowledge. Immediately, Krishna says, there is option, bhakti. And that is the 14th chapter. Similarly, 28th chapter is knowledge again. Knowledge. Immediately after that, seeing Uddhava's situation, Krishna says to him, 29th chapter is all about bhakti. All about bhakti. So, like this way, it goes. It goes like that. So, last time, when we started this chapter, which is Shri Bhagavan Uvacham, Atade Sampravakshyami, Sankhyam Purvai Vinishchidam, Yad Vijnaya Puman Sadyo, Jihve Vaikalpikam Bhramam, the first verse. Krishna said that we will Atade Sampravakshyami, Sankhyam Purva Vinishchidam. Sankhyam Purva Vinishchidam. That Krishna says that let me talk to you about Sankhyam now. After talking about Bhikshu Gita, Uddhava was in a state like we are. What it is like after hearing Bhikshu Gita and the problem with the mind, is it not? So he says to Uddhava that Atha Purvai Vinishchidam Sankhyam De Pravakshyami, that I'll talk to you about Sankhyam, which was spoken by Kapila Maharshi. Yad vijnaya puman vaikalpikam brahmam sadya jahyad. What it Sankhyam does is, Bheda Brahmam will go. You know what that means? Bheda Brahmam means, we all have Bheda Buddhi, isn't it? Bheda Buddhi means what? Bheda Buddhi means that good and bad, right and wrong. It's very strong in everybody, isn't it? We think that something is good, something is bad. That is why Krishna said before, guna dosha drashir dosha gunastu bhayavarjita, that, and it will not go away very easily. Particularly in vyavaharam, it will be very strong in us. This is good, this is bad, is right, is wrong. Dvaidam, in other words. Dvaidam is Veda Buddhi. Veda Buddhi means that will come out in us in different ways, in our dealings in this world. Veda Buddhi. So, in order to get rid of that Veda Buddhi, Krishna is saying here that Vaigalpikam Brahmam Sadhyaha Jahyad, that if you know this Sankhyam, how it will help is that this Brahmam means this illusion, what we have, due to this Veda Buddhi, that will go. Krishna is saying like that. Because if Veda Buddhi goes away, then you will not think this is good or this is bad. Somebody is nice and somebody is not so nice. He's a good person, he's a bad person. People say like that, isn't it? About sometimes you say, that, oh, he's a very nice person, you'll say. He's a gentleman. Somebody else will say something else about him. So this gentleman and rogue, all this has no meaning practically. It's all in the Subhav. So Krishna is saying that if Sankhyam, if you understand properly, that Veda Buddhi will go from inside. So if one has the option there, if one goes this way also, it is possible to understand things properly, and that way he will get out of that Veda Buddhi. So it is from this Veda Buddhi has that liberation. When Krishna talks about there, he says that Vedantam says that this is another important thing, that as far as the creation is concerned, Vedantam says no creation has happened. That you will understand later when you go into the 28th chapter, it will be much clearer that there no creation has happened. Mainly because, we talked yesterday also, that when you are in a dream, you are experiencing a dream. When you wake up, where is the dream? Dream is gone. After you have woken up, you are saying that, oh, I was having a dream. Is it not? You say that I had a dream after you have woken up. Similarly, Krishna's point is, this vacant state is another dream. This is also another dream. Only thing is, we are not able to wake up from this dream. Other dream, we were able to wake up. But this dream, we are not able to wake up. Waking up from this dream is more difficult than the waking up from the other dream. That is the difference. That's all what Krishna is saying. So because of that, this creation itself, as far as Krishna is concerned, has not happened. Why? Because where is the creation? Where is the creation? Creation is inside us, is it not? Suppose I am not there, then creation doesn't exist. Normally our problem is that we look into the world through the eyes, through all other senses, experiences the world, and we say, oh, it's all these things who has created. We ask that question. But suppose we were not there, then for whom this creation existing? It doesn't exist. It has no meaning, actually. Anything makes sense to this creation because of our presence here. So, therefore, Vedantam's position is that there is nobody who has created this, and there is no such thing called a creation. Only when you are under the influence of Maya and you are experiencing this, that I am existing, and you have experience of that through your senses, that is where this creation comes. Otherwise, creation has no existence. Similarly, Jiva's position also, that people think that permanently Jiva exists. Jiva doesn't exist permanently. Because if you think that Jiva is permanently existing, if the Jiva is existing permanently, then what does liberation means? Where is the liberation? So, therefore, this issue is a big question. This is where Dvaitam, Advaitam, Shishtadvaitam all came from there. Anyway, without going back into that, we'll say here that Dvaitam, we have seen how it has, how that works. Last time, when we discussed this Sankhyam, we have gone through the first six verses, if I remember correctly. I think we stopped on the sixth verse. And prior to that, we have spoken about, primarily, that in Sankhyam there is Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti, isn't it? So, in the beginning of the creation, that and so in the beginning of the Kritayugam or Satyayugam, when people were very advanced in the spiritual life, for them what existed was only Paramatma. Atma alone existed. And therefore, Krishna is saying, Asit jnanamadho martha egam eva vigalpidam yada viveka nipunav adau kridayuge yuge. Second verse. He is saying here that ayuge adau kridayuge viveka nipunaha jnanam adho artaha avigalpidam egam eva asit. That all this creation was Paramatma Vastu. In other words, the people had the vision to see that. They had that awareness in them that they're able to see the creation not the way we see today as objects of sense enjoyment, instead as manifestation of Krishna, Krishna's manifestation. And he also mentioned there that vastu or Brahmam that took divided into two. And that we have spoken in the last class, so I won't repeat that again. When Krishna said, in the form of Purusha and Prakriti. Purusha and Prakriti. Which we have analyzed. If you want, you can go back to the last classes and see there what Purusha and Prakriti means. Prakriti's another name is called Maya. Prakriti is called Maya. Purusha is the living force inside everybody. Chaitanyam, Atma Vastu, which is present in everything. That we have spoken about. So, Tan Maya Halarupena Kevalam Nurvigalpidam Vangmano Gojaram Satyam Dvitha Samabhava Brihat. That Atma or Brahma Vastu, Brahmam, that has split into two. How one that Maya and the other one is the living force, which Krishna calls it as Satyam Dvidha Samabhavat Brihat Tan Maya Bhalarupena Kevalam Nurvigalpidam. Third verse Vangmano Gocharam Satyam Dvidha Samabhavat Brihat. Maya means Prakriti and Bhalam Tanmaya Bhalarupena. Maya Rupena, Bhala Rupena. Bhala means this pure consciousness, pure awareness, chit or bodham, consciousness, living force. That is Bhala. Maya and Bhala. In these two forms, this Brahmam has taken. Brahmam has taken these two different forms. Tayor egado artha prakriti sobhayalpmiya jnanam tvanyadamo bhava purusha sobhidiyade. Out of these two, the thing called Maya, she is what they call it as karyakarana swarupini. Karyakarana swarupini means that egado artha ubhayalpmiya prakriti. Ubhayalpmiya means dvaidam. Ubhaya means two. Ubhayalpmiya prakriti came from the Maya. That means in Prakriti you will notice everything as a cause and effect. Cause and effect. That is the nature of the Prakriti.
Anyatama bhavaha jnanam chasa evaha purusha idi abhidiyade.
The other one is the Atma or the self or the Chaitanyam, living force, which is nothing but a witness to all the activities, what's going on in the Prakriti. Drashtava. Drashta means one who observes everything, like a witness. He is seeing everything, but he is not involved in the Prakriti. He is independent. So one, that is called the Chaitanyam. The other one is called Jadam. Prakriti is Jadam. The other one is called Chaitanyam. Chaitanyam means living force. So living force is independent. Jadam is dependent on the living force. They give the example that everything that is jadam, dead matter, it depends on the Chaitanya, living force. Chaitanyam is not dependent on the jadam. Jadam is dependent on the Chaitanyam. They say that there's a lamp burning and there's a wick in the lamp that's burning. And the fire is, the light is coming out from there. Now, this lamp that's burning, or the light that's coming from there, is dependent on the lamp. Dependent on the lamp. If there is no lamp, there is no light. If there is no lamp, there is no light. But similarly, if there is no light, there is no lamp either. There is no lamp either. So, out of these two, the lamp is dead thing, jadam. And only because the light is there, it has become a lamp. If there is no light, it's just a dead thing. It has no utility at all. So here you can see that the light that is coming out, that is the Chaitanyam. So similarly in the creation also, if there is no Chaitanyam here or living force here, this whole creation has no use, has no meaning at all. So the Jadam or the creation is dependent on this living force. But at the same time, living force is not dependent on the Jadam, on the creation. Creation is dependent on the living force, but living force is not dependent on the creation. Without creation also, living force can exist. Is it not? Living force can exist. That is the important point. Without creation, without this whole creation, living force can exist. But without living force, creation cannot exist. This is the relationship between the living force and the creation. And because that is exactly what Krishna says in the beginning of the Bhagavad Gita. Nasado vidyade bhavo, nabhavo vidyade sada, ubhayora vidrashtvandam stanayor tattva darshibi. It's such an important verse. Why is it important? Because this relationship we have to know. We shouldn't think everything is the same. Everything is not the same. The dead matter, jadam, it is dependent on our Chaitanyam inside. If I have no consciousness, where is the existence of creation? Creation doesn't exist. Is it not? In the science, it's the other way. For them, creation exists. I don't exist. In Vedantam, I exist. Creation doesn't exist. You see where things go in two different directions? Science went in a... That is why science will never come to an end. It will go on like this. Every year there will be new product developed and new knowledge developed. And it will be endless. Only thing is, it will keep a lot of people on the job. That's the only thing that will happen. But otherwise, how this is... See how Vedantam talks about it. Vedantam's point is, Vedantam, Krishna is saying here in the Sankhyam, Sankhyam, it's coming from Sankhyam, Vedantam has accepted that. So there is no difference between Sankhyam and Vedantam in these things. There is few differences in some other areas. Vedavyasa Maharshi has taken that part of Sankhyam acceptable to Vedantam. And that is what is this. That living force is the real thing, not the dead matter. Dead matter is existing only because the living force is there. And if you ignore the living force, the dead matter doesn't even exist. Because of the presence of the living force only, this dead matter is existing. We can understand that, is it not? So from there itself, they have turned in the two directions. Vedantam goes this way, the science goes the other way. Science will be busy with the dead matter for the rest of their career, whatever it is for the science. They will keep on researching in the matter. Researching with the matter is what is, we call it a science, isn't it? That's what researching with the matter. All the laws in the science, all the developments in the science, is all centered around the matter, not centered around the living force. Whereas in Vedantam, everything is centered around the... That is why, if you look into Bhagavatam also, you will see this. That when Vedavyasa Maharshi saw Krishna, he saw side by side sitting Maya there. Is it not? You remember in the first canto. So Maya, that is the relationship between Maya. If you do research with Maya, Maya will definitely trick you. She won't let you have any control over her. Science research is all based on Maya, is it not? It is Maya that they are researching about. What Vedantam calls as Maya, which Maya means Maya, that doesn't exist. And that is where your research's work is going on with that. Where will that research come to any conclusions? So Maya's research, nobody does research with Maya. It's a waste of time. Maya won't let you have any research on her. So here you can see that Purusham, Purusha, or the living force, Chaitanyam, Atma, whichever we call it, that is the truth. And Prakriti is Asad. Prakriti is Asad. Prakriti is Jadam, Purusha is Chaitanyam. And so in that sense, Vedantam and Sankhyam is in agreement, everything. So, and that has been accepted. So that is why. In the sixth verse you will see there that Tebhya Samabhaval Sutram Mahan Sutrayana Samyuta Tato Vigurvato Jato Yo Ahangaro Vimohanaha. It's all very interesting if you keep studying this chapter. A lot of interesting things will come about, which we'll see when we come through this. It's just the beginning. Krishna is saying that Maya, which is called Jadam, that Maya, he says, Tamasa Rajasa Sattvam. Three gunam is the nature of that Prakriti. And because these three modes of nature is working in the Prakriti, if you conduct research on that, she will cheat you. She won't let you have any clear understanding. Because you are not even, science is not even accepting these three modes of nature. What do you think about that science then? Where it's, see, this advancement of technology and all that, these are certain things Maya releases sometimes, certain knowledge to you, to have it. And it puts us in a very awkward situation. She will never reveal the truth to us, but she will always give you some capabilities, like the in different ways, cell phone or television or flying capabilities and things like that. But you will always notice that she will never give you the complete understanding of the things. So he says here in that fifth verse, Sattvam Rajastama Iti, that Maya, when the Maya gets disturbed, that means when an unbalance happens in the Maya, in the Prakriti, these three modes of nature will start operating. And in other words, Purushanu Matena, he says there, that Purushanu Matena cha. How does Maya starts its, Maya gets agitated, that's the word they use. It gets agitated. Prakriti gets agitated. And from there, these three modes of nature comes about. Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam. When the three modes of nature comes about, then Prakriti starts working. Prakriti starts working. And that happens with the permission of Purusha. Purusha means Chaitanya or the living force or Brahman, whichever way we call that. So that is where we stopped last time. It is at that verse. Then the next one, Krishna is saying, Tebhya Samabhaval Sutram, the sixth verse, that Mahan Sutrayana Samyuta Tato Vigurvato Jato Yo Ahangaro Vimohanaha Tebhya Sutram Samabhaved. From the three modes of material nature, there's a lot of technical words here. Krishna is saying, Tebhya Sutram Samabhavad. From the three modes of material nature, Sutralma has born. Sutralma. This is another word. Tebhya Samabhaval Sutram. Sutram, that's the word they have used. Tadamahan Jadaha. And from there, from Sutralma, Mahatatum was born. Mahatatum was born. And Sutrayana Samyuda. That Mahatatum is together with Sutralma. And why it's spoken Sutralma? Because there is two power in this world. And you have seen that in the Bhagavad Gita also, Krishna talked about that. One is knowledge, other one is action. Jnana Shakti, Kriya Shakti. Remember that? Jnanam is the knowledge. Kriya is the power to work, to do the things. Kriya Shakti, ability to act. So, Jnana Shakti is knowledge, power of knowledge. Kriya Shakti is the power of action, in other words. So, Krishna says, the same thing, Jnana Shakti and Kriya Shakti, is what we call it as Sutralma and Mahatatum. They are the same thing. Remember, in the Bhagavad Gita, when we remember the third three. Logesmin divida nishta pura prokta mayanaka jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam. So these two forces are always in this world. Which one? Jnanam and karma.
Jnanam and karma is always present in this world. It is based on that Jnana Yogena Sankhyanam Karma Yogena Yoginam has come. Whole of Bhagavad Gita is only, that is why those two processes, Jnana Yogam and Karma Yogam, is spoken all around. Bhakti is necessary for everything. There is no question about that. So, it is on that principle Krishna is saying here, Mahatattvam, Sutralpa and Mahatattvam. From Sutralpa came Mahatattvam. Sutralpa is that Jnanam and Mahatattvam is the Karma. Sutralpa is the Jnanam. Knowledge. Mahatvam is the karma. So, Vedantam, in Vedantam also, when it is spoken, Sutralpa was another name addressed as Pranam. Sutralpa, or, these are all different terminologies. Sometimes it's called as Pranam. Sometimes it's called as Kalam, time. So, if it is in the body, it is called Pranam. When that Sutralpa is in the body, it is called Pranam. When it is in the creation, it's called time. I know it is difficult to conceptualize all these things, but you can think about it. You will get an understanding of this. It is not that difficult because they are not, objects. It becomes difficult for us. Mind finds that difficult to understand. Krishna is saying here that Sutralpa is Pranam or time. Kalam is time. Kalam is a force operating in this world, isn't it? Due to the presence of time, things are changing. Otherwise, changes what shouldn't happen. Body is changing, the world is changing, everything is changing. Change is happening due to presence of time. That's called Kalam. So, and inside the body, that Sutralpa is present in the form of Pranam, energy. Pranam, we know what it is. Pancha Pranam, five kinds of air that's operating. Five supplementary Pranams also present there. That you will see in the Patanjali's Yoga Sutram and all, it will explain more. In Vedantam also it is accepted, all these things. So, if it is in the body, it is called Pranam. If it is in the world, it is called Kalam or time. So, in Vedantam, while this is spoken, it is difficult to separate this from Vedantam because Sankhyam, Vedantam all together comes here. Krishna has spoken Vedantam, but what Krishna has done, he has taken Sankhyam from Kavila Maharshi and incorporated into Vedantam. That is how it comes out here. So, here, there is a little difference in the Vedantam. Here, in Sankhyam it says, Sutralpa was there and Mahatattvam came from that. In Vedantam, Mahatattvam was there and Sutralpa came from that. But it will not contradict each other. The reason being, Sutralpa and Mahatattvam is always together. So it doesn't matter. Either way. In Vedantam, they say that Mahatattvam came and then Sutralpa came. In Sankhyam, Sutralpa came and then Mahatattvam came later. But that change will not have any effect because Sutralpa cannot exist without Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam cannot exist without Sutralpa. That is an important point. And Sutralpa and Mahatattvam, in reality, they are not two things. That's only one thing. One has become Pranam, which is the life air in the body, which digests the food, which circulates the blood, which breathes inside while we are breathing the air, and convert that air into what they call the Pancha Pranam, five kinds of air, isn't it? Pranam, Apanam, Samanam, Udanam, Vyanam. The five kinds of air. If you want explanations to that, it is there in the books. Pranopana, Samana, Udana, Vyanan. What they do in the body. Yeah. So, these five kinds of air is nothing but Pranam. And Pranam is nothing but Sutralpa. When it comes to the body, it becomes Vyashti. When it is in the whole creation, it's called Samashti. These words are important.
I don't think there is any equivalent words in the in equivalent words in English. I haven't come across, I see the same words used everywhere. Samashti and Veshti. Now, in the Vedantam, they'll tell you that whatever that is in the Samashti is there in the Veshti. And what is in the Veshti, that's all in the Samashti also. For example, when it comes to karma, let's for example. Individually, we all know that there is effect of karma in us, isn't it? What we call as prarabdham, agamam, sanchitam. These different kinds of karma, we all experience it. Which if you study ourselves, you will know that we have got prarabdham, which has come in this body. And then Shastram also is saying to us, there is karma that is accumulated, which is not matured yet. And that is called sanchitam, which is in the bag. Agamam is that karma which will be created now while we are living in this world, which will fructify later. So that's called agama karma. So karma is in us in the form of prarabdham, agamam, sanchitam. Three different kinds of karma is present in us. Now, we know that this karma has an effect on us in our life in this world. In different forms it comes to us. It affects our life here, isn't it? That's what we are experiencing whole day. When natural disasters happen, people ask the question, why did that happen? Is it not? They will ask the question, for example, tsunami, earthquake, and floods. And that's the time we write off God. We say He doesn't exist. Why is He doing all these things? We ask the question. There is perfect answer in Vedantam. Vedantam will be a very clear answer. Vedantam is saying to us, just like you have your individual karma, each one of us, all of us combined together, there is a collective karma as well. If a large group of people are engaged in sinful activities, Krishna's punishment is always in a collective way, not in an individual way. Individually you will get your share, don't worry about that. That you will get it. But sometimes you will get it collectively also. Why? In Samashti, what is there in the Veshti should be there in the Samashti also. Karmam is there in the Veshti, Karmam should be there in the Samashti as well. Suppose a lot of people, a large group of people, a whole population is busy in sinful life. Krishna's way of correcting that is through Samashti, not through Veshti. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is why when natural disasters happen, you can look at it seriously and see there must be a reason behind it. And that reason is, on a collective level, there is sinful activity. And that comes out in the form of natural disasters, in the form of war and drought and so many different ways it can happen anywhere in this world. A collective punishment. Remember in the olden days when kings, when suppose there was some serious theft happened in a village and they couldn't catch the thief. Thief won't come out because kings are very heavy on punishment, isn't it? They will really give you a hard time. There was no courts or like the way it is now. What is they say? Today they say that you are innocent unless proven guilty and all that. They don't look into all the things. Because of this, there is so much problem. You are innocent till you are proven guilty. Some people have done so much nonsense and gone from this world. Now where are you going to prove guilty now? What's going to happen to them who have done that? A question will come like that, isn't it? So that doesn't fly very much with the kings. King won't accept all that. Kings used to say that if you have done something, you should pay for it. That's their attitude. Pure Kshatriya's nature. So what they used to do, when some villages in their kingdom, in some villages, some serious crime happened, and if the criminal is not coming forward, he will punish the whole population together. Everybody. Because somebody is covering it up. That was their approach. And everybody has to pay the price for it. Collective punishment. So similarly, Krishna also has some collective punishment and He will do that. Krishna is not going to keep quiet about that. So we don't have to get completely concerned about it, why these things happened. There is a reason behind it. Without that, it cannot happen. That's the only important thing. So in Vedantam, anyway, Krishna is saying here that Sutralpava and Mahatattvam, they are not two different things. It's one and the same thing, but it broke into two, in two ways. One in the form of pran, other one in the form of time or kalam. So, due to their action, they have turned like that. Vikriya means, that in Shastram they have used the word vikriya. Vikriya means that action. Action. Kriya means action. And pravritti. So, you can see, because of that, pranan and the mind is together, always together. You may be thinking it's a boring subject. It's not a boring subject. It's a very interesting subject, this Sankhyam. Only thing, you need that a little bit of taste for it. If you understand it, it will open up a completely different way of looking at things. So, Krishna is saying here, because mind and the pranan, if you notice, they will always stay together. They are never separate. In the Chandogya Upanishad also it says that mind is pranan, pranan is mind. Just like, if suppose you take food, that food turns into pranan and turns into mind as well. Most subtle part of the food becomes the mind. And the energy side of it becomes the pranan. From the food, both things come. So, the subtle part of the food turns into mind. And the grosser side of the food becomes pranan. Practically you can say, the source of both mind and the pranan is one and the same, the food. So pranan means what? Karma shakti, ability to do things, work. And mind means jnana shakti, knowledge. Power of knowledge is mind. Power of action is the pranan. Power of action is the pranan. So these two things, jnanam and karmam, they will always remain together. They cannot remain separately. They are always together. But if you ask the question, out of these two, which one is more important? The answer is, jnanam is more important. Knowledge has got more importance. Because even if karmam is not there, jnanam is there. But without jnanam, karmam cannot come, cannot exist. So out of these two, jnanam and karmam, jnanam has the upper hand. That is why jnana yogena sankhyanam karma yogena yoginam, Krishna is saying. We will discuss this in much more detail when we discuss 10th canto next time. Because Balaram's activities in the... If you observe Balaram's activity and Krishna's activity, after all they were brothers, were they not? You will see a big difference between Balaram and Krishna. Krishna married 16,108 times. Balaram married only once. He was happy with that, one marriage. Krishna had 16,000 wives. Now you can ask the question, why Balaram didn't marry? He was satisfied with Revati and stayed with Revati the rest of the life. Whereas Krishna's life is much more diverse, isn't it? One incident I'm saying. Secondly, if you look at Balaram and Krishna together, the way they left this world, how they lived their householder life, everything different. Mahabharata war happened. At the time the war started, Balaram says, I'm not either a party of the Kauravas nor the party of the Pandavas. I'm going, he said. Went on his pilgrimage. Balaram goes. Krishna says, thank you very much, he says. Because he was worried. Krishna was worried. If Balaram stays, elder brother, isn't it? If he says something, it will be a problem. He was a little bit worried. Krishna was worried about Balaram. Suppose Balaram had more attachment towards Duryodhana, was his disciple. Disciple, isn't it? No spiritual master likes when the disciple is in trouble. So when this situation happened, Balaram took this view that I am not a part of this or that, he said. Walked away from there. Same thing with when Rukmini was kidnapped. So many places, if you look Krishna and Balaram together, you'll find it very interesting. Two different nature and they are brothers. Why this difference? That you will understand when you study Sankhya. These are the important things in the Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam is not just a storybook. Bhagavatam has got a lot to offer in all these things. From Vedantam, it comes to such a level That is why, if you remember in the end of Bhagavatam, it says, Srimal Bhagavadam Puranam Amalam Yad Vaishnavanam Priyam Yasmin Paramahamsyamekam Amalam Jnanam Param Giyate Tatra Jnana Viraga Bhakti Sahidam Naishkaramyam Avishkritam Yat Shrunvan Vipathan Vijaranaparo Bhaktya Vimucher Naraha. It's a verse at the end of Bhagavatam that everything is incorporated in the Bhagavatam in such a beautiful way. Through these two personalities, of course, Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, to teach us these roles they are playing, Krishna and Balaram. And that is the most interesting thing, that Krishna's life and lifestyle is one way. Balaram's way of looking at things and doing things in another way. So many places. When Shatadhanyu ran away, after stealing the Samantaka jewel. You remember from Dwaraka he ran away. And the funniest thing was that Satyabhama took the chariot. Krishna and Arjuna were in Indraprastham with Pandavas. Here, Satyabhama, Rukmini, Jambavati, they were all there in Dwaraka. So what happened was, the Samantaka jewel was possessed, was owned by Satrajit, who's Satyabhama's father, had the Samantaka jewel. So, if you read that part, it is such a laugh in the Bhagavatam, that Satrajit had the Samantaka jewel, and Satrajit had these two friends, who Akrura and Kritavarma. Akrura is a devotee. Devotee. Kritavarma also the commander-in-chief of the army in Dwaraka. And Kritavarma and Akrura and Shatadhanyu, they were all hoping to marry Satyabhama once. All of them. The plan was that. But things turned out in such a way that Krishna married Satyabhama. So, there was a little bit of feeling about that inside. So, what Akrura and Shatadhanyu did, Akrura and Kritavarma, they called Shatadhanyu one day and told him, why did they not marry Satyabhama to you? They were winding him up. It's natural, isn't it? They were grown up men and they have something to talk like this. So, Shatadhanyu thought, then this makes some sense what they are talking about. It came to his head like that. So what he did was, he said that he thought that Satrajit didn't marry Satyabhama to me. He decided that I'm going to kill Satrajit and steal the Samantaka jewel from him, which he did. It's only after doing all that he realized it that there is trouble now. Because Satyabhama was not an ordinary person. She's a Kshatriya woman, she is. And she got so upset, she took the chariot herself and drove all the way to Hastinapur to complain to Krishna, this has happened. Knowing well that Satyabhama has gone to Delhi, to Hastinapur, to talk to Krishna about this, Shatadhanyu went to Akrura and Kritavarma and told them that, can you help me? I am in trouble, he said. So they said, what can we help? Because they were also frightened a little bit. Because they were also behind it to some extent, isn't it? So Shatadharma, in a desperate situation, threw that Samantaka jewel there and ran away. When Satyabhama got to Hastinapur and saw Krishna and Balaram and said to them that my father has been killed. So when she reported this, Krishna started crying like anything. Balaram was not feeling any misery. So Krishna is saying to Balaram, you also cry. Can you imagine that? Krishna, all this is there in the Mahabharatam as well as to some extent in the Bhagavatam. In the Mahabharatam, it's much more interesting. Krishna is saying to Balaram, Balaram is not feeling, because Balaram is Jnanam. What crying for him? He has not affected by anything. But Krishna is saying to Balaram, my dear brother, if you don't cry, it doesn't look very nice. So please cry. He's saying to him. to Balaram. So Balaram started crying with Krishna. Krishna is so good in acting. But Krishna also has no feeling in all these things because Nasado Vidyade Bhava. That's another stage. Not that he has no feelings, but in the sense that once who knows the truth, who cries about death? Isn't it? Krishna doesn't cry about death of anybody. So Satyabhama was happy. Oh, they are feeling. They are. Just to please Satyabhama, Krishna and Balaram had to cry. Krishna and Balaram had to cry. They came back with Satyabhama and told Satyabhama, we'll get all of this Shatadhanya. Because she wanted that Shatadhanya should be punished for what he has done and get that Samantaka jewel back. They chased him. They ran chasing him all the way to Mithila, in Mithila where the Janaka's kingdom. When they got there, Shatadhanya saw them chasing. They got out of the chariot and started running. When he started running, Krishna also left the chariot and started running after them. Krishna and Balaram were running after Shatadhanya. Very soon, Krishna caught hold of Shatadhanya, beat him up and asked him for the jewel. Before he could say, he died. He couldn't get anything out of it. Krishna says to Balaram, it was a complete waste of time, he says, killing him. He doesn't have it, he said. So Balaram understood, there is some crooked plan behind it, Krishna has, which Balaram did not want to share with. So what did he say? He says to Krishna, my dear brother, you continue with your investigation. I am going, he said. And he left him. And where did he go? He went to Mithila, to the kingdom. And knowing well that between Balaram and Krishna, there is a slight misunderstanding. Dhritarashtra, the blind man sitting there in Hastinapur, he heard about this. So he calls his son, Duryodhana, and brings him here to see Balaram. And that's where Balaram got initiated into club fighting and became a disciple and all that happened there. So you can see that Balaram is different in many ways from Krishna's way of doing things. Balaram's way of doing things is different completely. And there is reason behind it. We'll see that later. So here, jnanam karmam, that's what we are talking. Those who have that jnanam, so only when there is jnanam, there is action, isn't it? Only when there is knowledge, there is action. So because you can see that when we do any action in this world, prior to that, there is knowledge about it. Without that, action doesn't happen. So where this action takes birth, action took birth from the knowledge. Because of the knowledge only, action has come about. So even if that action is over, knowledge will still remain. Knowledge will still remain. Whereas if the knowledge is finished, then karmam cannot stay, action cannot stay. So that is the reason that sutralpam has come from mahatattvam, but when they were born, sutralpam and mahatattvam, they were born together at the same time. Jnanam and karmam were born together. So, and then they turned into jnana shakti and karma shakti. Power of knowledge and power of action. And that is what we call it as jiva and ahangaram. Jiva and the ahangaram. Just like you can see, jivatvam or what we call jiva, that jivatvam is something created. It has no permanent existence. Permanent existence. And because it has been created, one day it will not exist. Jiva cannot exist as jiva anymore. So for jiva, when it was created, its main upadhi is sutralpamava and mahatattvam. Sutralpamava and mahatattvam. We'll make that explain clearer. And that is what Krishna is saying in this, that tebhya samabhaval sutram mahan sutrayana samyuta tato vigurvade jato yo ahangaro vimohanaha. Very interesting verse it is, if you understand it. That it says here, sutra from three modes of material nature, sutralpa was created and then mahatattva was born. That Mahatvatvam is with the Sutralmav. They are not separate. They are not separate. And based on Kriya Shakti and Jnana Shakti, it is called Sutralmav and Mahatvatvam. And from, look at that word, Vimohanayaha Ahangaraha Sa Vigurvadastadaha Jadaha. Krishna is saying, Tado Vigurvado, the second part, Tado Vigurvado Jado Yo Ahangaro Vimohanaha. Do you see? Tado Vigurvado Jado Yo Ahangaro Vimohanaha. This Ahangaram is Jiva, what we are. Ahangaram. And this is the birth of Jiva. That means when Mahatvatvam and Sutralma, what Krishna has spoken here, Vimohaniya Ahangaraha Sa Vigurvastadaha Jadaha. That when Mahatvatvam transformed, from that Mahatvatvam came what actually, how do you say Brahmam? Brahmam is that which baffles everybody. And that is Ahangaram. Ahangaram baffles everyone, isn't it? We also, you can see, we don't understand this false ego. Is it not? That's why it's called false ego. Why? Where is it coming from? It's a very interesting question. But we know that Ahangaram is always acting in this world. It is Ahangaram who takes the ownership. I am the doer. I am the enjoyer. Where is he coming from? That question we'll ask. That's what is explained here. That Ahangaram is coming from the Mahatvatvam. Ahangaram comes from the Mahatvatvam. And the nature of the Ahangaram, Krishna is saying here, is Tato Vigurvato Jato Yo Ahangaro Vimohanaha. Vimohanam. Vimohanam means it creates this false feelings inside. I am the doer, I am the enjoyer. Where is it coming from? Ahangaram. Ahangaram experiences that. Ryagam Dvesham, attachment and aversion. Who experiences that? Ahangaram experiences that. Is it not? So, where is this Ahangaram coming from? It comes from Mahatvatvam. That is what Krishna is saying here. And this birth of this Ahangaram, false ego, is a very peculiar thing, Krishna is saying to Uddhava. This peculiar thing called Ahangaram. Why is it so peculiar? Because you don't know where is it in the body. You have no idea. Where is it coming from? And it's not there all the time, is it? You can see. Why is it peculiar? Because in the deep sleep state it's not there. So it's a peculiar thing, isn't it? It's not a permanent thing. Only in the vacant state, it's very predominant. Very dominant in the vacant state, Ahangaram. And it is due to that Ahangaram, we are doing everything in this world. All actions in this world is due to that Ahangaram. Want to conquer the world, win the matches, and win the elections, and big, big projects, plans. Who is behind it? This man. Ahangaram. Ahangaram is behind it. If Ahangaram was not there, many of these things won't be happening here. What's going on now? So, and it is a very peculiar thing. And the same person, he disappears when you go into deep sleep. So, therefore, you can see Krishna saying that this Ahangaram creates an illusion in our mind. And we are battling the whole life against it. As Jiva, isn't it? Our whole battle in the life is because of this thing called Ahangaram. Ahangaram. So, that is why Krishna is saying there, that vimohanaha, tato vigurvato jado yo ahangaro vimohanaha. That vigurvadam, that from that tato vigurvato jado, from that mahatvatvam, when it transformed further, from that mahatvatvam, what we call it as vimohanam. Vimohanam means something that is baffling all of us, that ahangaram was born. Vimohana means that puts everybody into illusion. It is due to Ahangaram we feel this illusion strongly. So, it is because of that Ahangaram only we are feeling that this world is real. You see what Ahangaram does to us? Because of that Ahangaram only. Shastram is telling us world is not real. We say, well, who says world is not real? Who is saying this? That ahankaram inside says world is real. So it is due to the ahankaram. When the ahankaram completely goes away, you will see that the world is not real. World is not real. But we are not able to accept that at the moment. Is it not? Today we will say yes, all this. But when we come out, world is real. Completely. Who says world is not real? We will say that. Isn't it? So this ahankaram, that is the important thing. This ahankaram is the root of all our ignorance. All ignorance in us, the root of that is, it is stuck to this ahankaram. If ahankaram, because all the ajnanam, all kinds of avidya inside us, I am this body, I am this mind, I am this intelligence, I am this ego, I am this, I am that, complete misunderstanding and false knowledge what we have accumulated. Just like it's due to ahankaram, this science is developing. What else is behind it? Ahankaram only. That ahankaram is dictating from inside, go after this, go after that, go to moon, go to Mars, go to Saturn, go here, go there, find out this, find out that. All these kind of things, the force behind that is this ahankaram. And that is why Krishna is saying here, that is the main root of the whole ajnanam or avidya in a person. Complete ignorance is tied down to this thing called ahankaram. Krishna has spoken this in the 13th chapter when knowledge was discussed in the Hamsa Gita. Ahamit anyadha buddhi. If you look at the verse there, you will see that. Ahamit anyadha buddhi. There is a verse there. I think it is the 9th verse. There Krishna spoke about that. Ahamit anyadha buddhi. That is how Krishna started that. Ahamit anyadha buddhi pramattasya yadahrdi ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigariyam mana. It's a very famous verse in the Bhagavadam. Because you see there that ahamit anyadha buddhi sahangaram. Krishna is saying there, ahamit anyadha buddhi pramattasya yadahrdi ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigariyam mana. We talked about that verse when we discussed that. Krishna is saying here, pramattasya ahamit anyadha buddhi hrdi yadha ulsarpadi tadaha vaigarigam abhi manaha pradi ghoram rajaha ulsarpadi. If a person has this ahankaram, ahamit anyadha buddhi called ahankaram. Ahankaram, another word is ahamit anyadha buddhi. So if ahamit anyadha buddhi, if it develops, then in that case, his identification with the body will be very strong. When this ahankaram is high in a person. Ahamit anyadha buddhi, and result of all that, rajogunam will come to him when he has that. That's ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigarigam mana, Krishna is saying there. So ahamit anyadha buddhi pramattasya yada hrdi ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigarigam mana. If you look at that verse, Krishna is saying that if you have a lot of ahankaram, is very strong in a person, ahamit anyadha buddhi. What is anyadha buddhi means? Anyadha buddhi means identification with the body. Identification with the body. That aham, awareness, instead of identifying as atma, you are identifying with the body. Identifying with the body. If it is there, Krishna says, when that is called pramadam, ahamit anyadha buddhi, pramattasya yada hrdi, then what will happen? Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. Ghoram means this highly destructive power, rajogunam. Highly destructive, that is, rajogunam, isn't it? Ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. That Rajogunam will completely take over a person. And what will happen? Tato vaigarikam mana. Mind will become very agitated with that because of the presence of Rajogunam. See how that sequence it works.
Ahamit anyada buddhi pramatase yadahradi ulsarpadi rajo ghoram tato vaigarikam mana.
That is what Krishna is saying there to Uddhava. That once you have this ahamit anyada buddhi, that means ahangaram is grown inside. Ahangaram is there in everybody. But if when it becomes stronger, what will happen? Anyada buddhi will come. That identification of the body will get very strong.
Pramatase yada hridi.
That ahangaram will take very complete control of his awareness, consciousness, in such a way that ulsarpadi rajo ghoram. That ghoram means very powerful. Very powerful rajogunam will build up inside. Tato vaigariyam mana. He will also become very emotional due to the presence of Rajogunam. You can see in the presence of, when there is a lot of Rajogunam in a person, it's very difficult for him to peacefully listen to Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavatam. It's not possible. Because the very nature of Rajogunam is too many thought waves coming, one after the other. Powerful thought waves when starts coming inside, then mind goes in all directions, isn't it? When the mind becomes peaceful, shanti inside, that is when Bhagavad Gita and Bhagavatam will enter. Otherwise it cannot enter, which we know very well, is it not? So that is what Krishna is saying here, that pramadam, Krishna uses the word pramadam. Pramadam means misunderstanding. What's that misunderstanding? Forgetting about myself. I am forgetting that I am Atma, instead I am thinking I am body. That is that pramadam. Ahami tanyada buddhi pramatasya yada hrithi. Pramadam is that. Pramadam is that I forget about myself. The moment you have forgotten that you are Atma, you are not the soul, that means you have lost this state called Aham Brahmasmi. Is it not? Once you have forgotten your identity as Atma, you have lost that state of Aham Brahmasmi. That has happened already. So that means you know it has happened to all of us. Is it not? There's nobody, very few people who have not lost it. That means they are realized soul. Realized souls haven't lost it. They still have it. But those who are not realized self, what they are still ahamityanyada buddhi pramatase yada hridi. So, when you have forgotten who you are, that means your identity as Atma, when you have lost that, or when you have lost that aham brahmasmi state, it's another way of saying that. And you started thinking, I am differently from the Atma. That you are not Atma anymore. You gave a separate identity to yourself, I. That is that false I or ahangaram. So, then what happens? Once that happens, Krishna is saying, then you are, afterwards, you will start identifying with everything else. Once you have lost your identity with the Atma, with the soul, once you have lost it, then the next thing what will happen is, you will keep identifying with everything else in this world. First thing, sometimes you identify with the body. You identify with the body. Sometimes you identify with the mind, isn't it? Is it not? We all identify with the mind, sometimes. Sometimes we identify with the intelligence. No? We identify different times with different. It is because of this that this word Atma gets used in all the different ways. Atma becomes the body sometimes. Atma becomes the mind sometimes. Atma becomes the intelligence sometimes. Why? Because we keep changing our identity. Once you have lost your pure identity as Atma, then Krishna is saying, Ahamit anyada buddhi has some. Anyada buddhi it is called. Anyada buddhi means, from now on, you can identify with anything you like. That's what it means. Your real identity, you have lost it, as Atma. After that, you can identify with anything else. That is called anyada buddhi. Anyada buddhi. That means you will go and identify with anything and everything. For example, you can see, you will go and identify saying that I am an Indian. You will go and identify saying that I am a man.
You'll go and identify saying that I am a Hindu or I am a Muslim or I am a Christian or something like that. You'll go and identify saying that I am an American. This is all anyadabuddhi. So when you have lost your identity as aham, atma, once you have lost it, then this business starts. Anyadabuddhi starts. Anyadabuddhi means going and identifying with anything and everything in this world. Sometimes you'll identify, I am a fan of Arsenal or Manchester United, and then I will ready to fight. Anyadabuddhi. That is all anyadabuddhi. Isn't it? So, identification begins with that. Once we have lost this identity with our Atma, self, which is the genuine what we are, which is called Aham Brahmasmi state. I am Brahmam, Brahmam, Atma. Once I have lost that, then Anyada Buddhi comes. That is what Krishna is saying here. Ahamit Anyada Buddhi. Then what happens? Pramatase Yadakhrdi. Pramadam comes. Pramadam means, Pramadam has already come with that. Yadakhrdi. Pramatase Yadakhrdi. Ulsarpadi Rajo Ghoram. Krishna says that Ghoram, that powerful Rajogunam will get inside. Tato Vaigarigam Mana. That person will become very emotional. You can see sometimes this Rajogunam, how it builds up, isn't it? Once it gets in, and if you are a supporter of a particular football team, you should see their enthusiasm. They are willing to sacrifice their life even for the sake of the team. Every year they will buy all the kit from the football group. And when you see their dedication and commitment, you start wondering, I wish I had that in self-realization. The same dedication what they are showing to the football club or to the country, what they show, or like this in various ways, whatever they are showing their dedication, commitment, due to the presence of that Rajogunam inside. Why is it happening? Because he is identifying with that, is it not? Ahamit Anyadabuddhi. So if that same dedication, commitment, if it comes to self-realization, imagine how that will help. But there, no. That's not possible. There, it's not possible. There are all problems. Everything is a problem. So, Krishna is saying here that this, so, this reason only, therefore, whenever you say, due to anyada buddhi, if you say, I am this, I am that, you can use the word atma there because of this. Concession has been given like that. So sometimes body will say atma, intelligence will say atma, mind will say. And the reason for that, that why we say like that, is due to the false ego inside, ahankaram inside, I am saying that it is due to ahankaram I am doing this. Which one? Identifying with various things. Due to ahankaram only. If ahankaram is not there, I won't be doing this. Because I have ahankaram inside, I am saying that I am an Englishman or I am American or I am an Indian. This ahankaram it is. Ahankaram's manifestation another form. That's what it is. And therefore, it is because of that, we are calling all these different identities as atma. Not that that is all actually atma. None of them is atma. Body is not atma. Mind is not atma. Because when you say for example, in the Bhagavatam itself you will see this, that if you start calling body as atma, mind as atma, intelligence and atma, it doesn't look right, isn't it? Atma is spirit, soul inside. Then why do you call it as atma? The reason for that is, due to ahankaram inside, we go and identify with all these things. It is for that reason, because of ahankaram, and this ahankaram has come from atma. It's also coming from atma. But even though ahankaram is going and making all this false identification, still we call them as atma. Technically it is wrong. Technically, they are none of them is the atma. Atma is the consciousness inside. But it is allowed in the shastram because your own ahankaram has gone and identified with all these things. Body, mind, intelligence, and various other false things in this world. Therefore, it is allowed to call them as Atma. Call them as Atma. And that is what Krishna is saying in the seventh verse. If you look, you will see there. Vaigarigas taijasascha tamasaschetyaham tribrit tanmatrain indriya manasam karanam chidachinmaya. See that? Vaigarigas taijasascha tamasaschetyaham tribrit tanmatrain indriya manasam karanam chidachinmaya. Chidachinmaya aham vaigarigadi bhedena trivrit bhavati. Krishna says, this ahankaram, which is what they call it as, another word in the Shastram is Chijjada Granthi. You remember that word? I don't know. Chijjada Granthi. Chitta and Jadam, when they combine together, there is a powerful gland created inside, Granthi. That's what it's called, Chijjada Granthi. It comes in the 8th canto when the fish incarnation happened. At that time King Satyavrata was instructed. Remember there? There was a discussion between the King Satyavrata and the fish. And there is spiritual instructions given to him. Chijjada Granthi has spoken about that. We'll discuss later again. That's another interesting thing. Chitta Jadam. Chitta means Chit Shakti inside. Jada means dead thing. And there is a strong bondage between the two, Chit and the Jada. And that is called a Granthi. In all of us, it is present, this Chit Jada Granthi. Another name for that is Hridaya Granthi. Remember that? Vidyade Hridaya Granthi. Chidyande Sarva Samshaya. Kshiyande Chase Karmani Drishto Evalpunishwari. In the Bhagavatam you will see. Upanishads also that verse comes. So, that Chijjada Granthi says here that this Chitta and Jadam, when they combine together, which is called Chijjada Granthi, and that Chijjada Granthi's another name is Ahangaram, false ego. And that Ahangaram will branch into three. And that is what is called Satya Ahangaram, Rajas Ahangaram, Tamas Ahangaram. That means Ahangaram in the mode of goodness, Ahangaram in the mode of passion, Ahangaram in the mode of ignorance. And that Ahangaram, it is from that Ahangaram comes that Krishna is saying that the Tanmatra. Tanmatra means we have these five material elements. The subtle form of this gross material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, they are the gross form, earth, water, air, ether, fire. Now, if you look at their subtle form, what are they? Earth subtle form is smell. That's the tanmatra, isn't it? Water subtle form is? Taste. Yeah. Taste. Okay. Then, next one, fire. What's the subtle form? Form. Then, air, subtle form? Touch. Sky, subtle form? Sound. So, these five things, sound, touch, smell, taste, and what's the fifth one? Shabda, sparsha, and smell. Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. These are the subtle forms. They are called tanmatra. Their gross form, in the manifested form, is earth, water, air, ether, fire. Isn't it? So, you can see, when devastation happens also, subtle, gross, it goes like that. The most gross form is earth. It will go and dissolve in the subtle form called smell. And then the whole thing will go into the gross form as the water. And then it will go and dissolve in its subtle form as the taste. Like that it goes. So that we'll discuss later. So important thing here is, Krishna is saying, this from ahankaram comes this tanmatra. Tanmatra means this subtle part of the five gross material elements. Earth, water, and then senses, and then the mind. They all come from ahankaram. They all come from ahankaram. Because when ahankaram splits into three, ahankaram is not a simple thing. We will say, when we talk about ahankaram, ego, we will say, oh, he is very egoistic, we'll say. Sometimes about some people, isn't it? We'll say, he is very egoistic. But ego is not completely in that sense here. The question we have to ask is, we have to begin with the way Krishna has spoken about that. Krishna is telling us that ego is the cause of so many things. Ego splits into three, ahankaram split into three. And those three is mood of goodness, mood of passion, mood of ignorance. And the ahankaram in the mood of ignorance, from that were born this tanmatra. Tanmatra means the subtle form of the material elements. They were born from that. And all our senses were born from the rajasam, the mode of passion of the ahankaram. Ahankaram split into three, satya, rajasa, tamasam. Though tamasa ahankaram, all the tanmatras were born. Rajasa ahankaram, senses were born. Satya ahankaram, the mind was born. That is the birth of mind, senses, and the material body. When we say five elements are born, subtle body, five material, the subtle form of the material elements means it is that which becomes our gross body later. Is it not? Five material elements becomes this gross body. So, gross body, senses, and the mind. Gross body has come from the tamasa ahankaram, or ahankaram in the ignorance. Senses were born from the rajasa ahankaram, mood of passion, ahankaram in the mood of passion. Mind was born from the satya ahankaram. So, more subtle it is more satyam. More gross it is, it's more tamasam. Tamasahangaram is the most gross form. From there the most gross things came out. Which one? All the material elements, whole creation, everything. Little bit more subtle than the tamasahangaram is the rajasahangaram. So therefore, from rajasahangaram came the senses. Little bit more subtle. Subtle than that is the mind. So therefore it came from the satyahangaram. That is what Krishna is saying there. And so after saying that, Krishna says, Vaigarigas tamasascha taijasascha tamasaschetyaham trivid. Trivid, trivrat, he says. So Vaigarigam is satvigam, and it is from this, all the, based on these three different ahankarams, satvigam, rajasam, tamasam, when Sattvagunam is prominent, they become the demigods, devadas, all the higher living entities, vidyadharas, charanas, gandharvas, they all have this Sattvagunam in them from very higher degree than us. See that? When the ahankaram split into three, satvika, rajasa, tamasam, in whom Sattvagunam is prominent, they became the higher living entities, which includes all the devadas in the heavenly planets, demigods, and vidyadharas, gandharvas, charanas, kinaras, who all are on a higher planets, higher level. And also, their existence is more subtle than ours. You see, that is why we are not able to make contact with them, because they exist in a much subtle level than us. They exist in a much subtle level. Because their degree of sattvagunam is higher, they are more subtle than us. And because they are subtle and we are gross, we are not able to make any contact with them. But if they want, they can make contact with us. It's the other way. They can make, but we can't make contact with them. So, that is what it says. And similarly, from the rajasa ahankaram, we were born. We, this wonderful species in this world, has come from this rajasahangaram. Remember, this is because we have come from rajasahangaram, that is why there is so much rajogunam in us. Rajodigaha karma paraha. Remember that verse in the third canto? When the Kardama Prajapati and Devahuti Devi, I think that's where that discussion happened. Brahma's creation. At that time it says, Brahma is creating various things. Birds, bees, animals, plants, aquatics, so many things. When it came to human form, he took one drop from Satugunam, one drop from Tamogunam, two drops from Rajogunam. He kept, you know the people when they do the research, they keep the three bottles and he mix and see what comes out from that. Isn't it? Different chemicals. So these three chemicals, Satugunam, Rajogunam and Tamogunam, Brahma has kept it in the three bottle. And he took one drop from the Satugunam bottle, one drop from the Tamogunam bottle. Then he thought, let me see what happens if I put two drops from the Rajogunam bottle. And that's why we are so busy in this world. Rajodigaha karma paraha. We have to blame Brahma for that. Nobody else. This mentality what we have today, running after all day and night to get things done, as though the whole world is on your shoulders. Rajodigaha karma paraha. Bhagavadam says this. And what is interesting here is, straight after that, it says, Dukheja sughamanina. What does that mean? Means that after doing all that karma, what comes at the end? A loads of distress. That's the result. End result of all the karma is distress. There's no doubt about that, isn't it? You can see here. Distress after distress will keep coming after working so hard. And what is interesting, when all that distress comes, we become very philosophical. We sit in the chair. After all, that's life, isn't it? Where does it say life has to be like this? That after working so hard and when the results, a lot of distress is coming, we become very philosophical. And we say, after all, life is like that, isn't it? What else can we say? Dukheja sukhamanina. Dukham is coming and he is thinking it is sukham. It's happiness. This is also a part of that package of Rajogunam. So Rajasahangaram is created us and then also other living entities like devils and also this, what do they call it? The Bhuta Preta Vishajam, all that. I don't know. Ghosts, spirits. All such things. They are all our God brothers in this process, in the creation process. They are all part of us. All of them have Rajogunam in them. And then, then Tamasahangaram, the last one. From there came the birds, the bees, the trees, and all that group. That's from the Tamasahangaram. So you can see, Satyahangaram came the higher living entities. Demigods, Vidyadharas, Charanas, Gandharvas. You can see when you read Bhagavatam, you notice that they are all enjoying life more than us, isn't it? They don't have that same problem like us. They are not working like us, definitely not. And they have got so much freedom to live. Gandharvas, you remember that Chitraketu became a Gandharva Vidyadhara, isn't it? That means a higher birth was given to him. Balaram gave him that. So, higher species, and they have access to Kailasam. They went to Kailasam. He went with all other Vidyadharas together. And there he offended Sri Parvati. And Parvati said, go back. You are not ready yet for all this. He said, and send him back. And he came back as Vritrasura later. So, like that, there are so many instances. You will see in the Puranams many places, instances. People, somehow or the other, sometimes they get elevated to the higher planets. That means you are in the, you have the Satya Ahangaram inside. Unlike us, who have got Rajasa Ahangaram, or the birds and the animals and the plants and the trees, who have got Tamasa Ahangaram. Tamasa Ahangaram means you are in a Jadam state, no consciousness proper, nothing developed. At least in the Rajasa Ahangaram, there is a possibility of understanding something. But Tamasa Ahangaram, what choice has it got? They just have to live through that body and eating, sleeping, mating, defending. Nothing else happens in that body, in the Tamasahangaram. So Tamasahangaram will give you a body like that, completely Tamogunam. no possibility of any elevation from that. So, Satyahangaram. So, that Ahangaram, Krishna is saying here, Karanam Chidachinmaya. See that word? Karanam Chidachinmaya, he says. That means, Vaigarika Stai. Every word in the Bhagavadam requires a lot of explanation, because if you just read the translation, you won't know what is being spoken about in that verse. And Krishna has made it so condensed, everything, in 1076 verses in the Ekadasha Skandam total. Uddhava Padesham, Uddhava Gita is 1076 verses. Bhagavad Gita is 700 verses, isn't it? So, but Uddhava Gita is a lot more on a higher level spoken than the Bhagavad Gita level. Bhagavad Gita was mainly spoken in the, although it is the very basis, Prabhupada said that without understanding Bhagavad Gita, if you study Ekadasham, it won't make any sense. Bhagavad Gita gives you a good grounding for the Ekadasha Skandam. Although message is the same in both Bhagavad Gita and Ekadasha Skandam, the way it is presented is different. Definitely different. That you will see when you go through the Bhagavadam. In Bhagavadam, we have got personalities, isn't it? Uddhava is there. Then we have got Yadu, Hamsa Gita, Ayala Gita, then similarly Bhikshu Gita. And lot of personalities, and through examples, Krishna has brought the same knowledge in the Bhagavad Gita and made it much more relishable in the Bhagavadam. Bhagavadam is more relishable, no doubt about that. Bhagavad Gita is very much a very strict adherence to the truth and spoken in that way. Pure knowledge is spoken to Arjuna. But when he came to Uddhava, Uddhava understood the situation was that he requested Krishna that whatever you have wanted to say to this world, you should speak that before you leave from this planet. And Krishna, out of his kindness to us, he decided to leave something more behind for us, and that is what we have got here as Ekadasha Skandam. So Ekadasha Skandam is openly giving you 1076 verses. And this 1076 verses, Krishna has covered a lot more than what normally they have spoken in the Bhagavad Gita. So that is why here, he says, Vaigarika stejasascha tamasaschetyaham trivrit tanmatrem indriya manasa karanam chida chinmaya. Karanam chida chinmaya. So, so here, Krishna is saying here that the Tamasahangaram has become in the form of Tanmatra. Tamasahangaram has come in the form of Tanmatra. Tanmatra means, you know, Shabdam Sparsham Rubam Rasam Gandham. And Rajasahangaram has become the senses. And Satyahangaram has become the mind. And what is the nature of Ahangaram? Krishna is saying, Chida Chinmaya. It has got Chit and it has got Achit. That is Ahangaram. Chitta and Achit. Chitta means, you know, Chit Shakti. Achitta means, which is not Chit. Matter. Jadam. This Ahangaram has got a nature like that. It's a combination of both Chit and Achit. Atma is Chit. Body is Achit. But Ahangaram is Chit and Achit together. Krishna has mixed both Chit and Achit and put it as Ahangaram inside. And that is why Ahangaram is very baffling to us. We don't know what it is actually. Do we? We don't get a clear idea where is it coming from, where is it going. Only when the Chit and Achit joins together, Ahangaram will take birth. Otherwise, Ahangaram. Purely if it is Achit, there won't be any Ahangaram. In pure Chit also, there is no Ahangaram. When the Chit and Achit join together, there is Ahangaram. And that's why we all have Ahangaram. Because there is a combination of Chit and Achit. That is what Krishna is saying here. Karanam Chidachinmaya. Chitta, Achitta, they became together. If you combine them, Ahangaram will come out of it. That's what the point is. Karanam chitta chinmaya. The cause of ahankaram is chitta and achitta. They combine together and ahankaram was born from that, he says. So because it has come from both chitta and achit, this ahankaram has the nature of both. Sometimes it will display the nature of chit. Sometimes it will display the nature of achit. You see, ahankaram has got that problem. Sometimes, see, what is the nature of chit? Chit is always sat, anandam, and eternity, anandam, bliss, and always conscious awareness. All these are shanti. This is all the nature of the chit, isn't it? Sometimes that's why we experience the nature of the chit. Sometimes the nature of the achit comes to us. What is that? That matter, isn't it? Its nature. Its nature means all other thinking that I am a dead wood or I am a dead matter, I am this body. This is all achit. Because to think that I am this body is coming from the achit. It's not coming from the atma. It's not coming from the atma. It's coming from the dead jadam. It is the jadam way of thinking that I am this body or I am this mind. So you can see this effect in us, the combination of both, chit and achit. When they combine together, what happens to us? That is the important point. So both of them are existing there, and when, for example, suppose this ahankaram or false ego, when it takes pride by identifying with the jada vastu, then it is jadam. Say, for example, I am identifying with the country I am born, then I am manifesting that potency of the jada vastu in me. Do you know what I'm saying? Suppose I identify with the country I am born and say that I am an Indian, for example, if I say that, India is a jadam thing, isn't it? It's a dead land, piece of land that is. I'm identifying with that and saying that I am that. At that time, my ahankaram is showing that nature of the jadavastu. Of the jadavastu. On the other hand, if I identify with Atma and say I am spirit soul, and if I'm identifying with that, that manifestation is the nature of the chidvastu. Chidvastu. Krishna is saying that because this chit and achit are mixing together, sometimes it will manifest the chit nature and sometimes it will manifest the achit nature. Achit nature. Chit and achit. For example, in the Shastram it will say like this, that when it is identifying with Atma or Chaitanyam, it is Chaitanalmagam. Chaitanya means consciousness. It's awareness. It identifies with that. Suppose I am identifying with the buddhi, intelligence, then it is bodham. Bodham means awareness. If I say I identify with the mind, it's vicharam, thoughts it is, isn't it? Depending on which I identify with. If I am identifying with Atma, it is chaitana, consciousness it is. If I am identifying with the intelligence, then it is bodham, awareness. Or vicharalpa, and if you identify with the mind, it is vicharalpagam, thoughts identify. But if I am completely identifying with the body, then it is jadam. Completely if I am identifying with the body. Some people you can see somebody who hasn't got a clue about Atma inside. There are people in this world, you know that, who does not believe in anything. They believe that everything is finished when death comes. They believe this body is working because so many chemicals have come together and got its power to work. That's how they understand it. That's what they accept it. So for them, body is everything. In that time, their ahankaram is always jadalmagam. It is identifying with the body. So, because it is like this, chidachinmaya, or this variation, body, mind, intelligence, in different ways this ahankaram goes and identifies with. Because of that, it doesn't have one form of its own. Angaram. Doesn't have a form of its own. It doesn't have a form of its own. Body, you can say, it has got its own form. Mind also, you can say, is a thought waves. Intelligence, you can say, it is thinking power, discrimination power. Sangalpa vikalpa mana nishyalpiya buddhi. All of them has definition. But when it comes to ahankaram, it's very difficult to define ahankaram. Because it goes and takes at different places, different roles, and start playing there. And whatever it sees, according to, based on its ahankaram, it says, I'm that. I'm going and identifying. Suppose I'll say, in my own way, due to my ahankaram, I'll say, I'm an Indian. Or I'll say, I'm a man. Or I'll say, I'm an engineer. Or I'm a doctor. Or I'm this, or I'm that. I can go and identify with anything what I want to be. And I don't have any fixed position. Always changing from one to another. So, and whichever one you are going and identifying with, the qualities of that will come to me. Ahankaram will get it. See, if you are identifying with, so for example, if you identify with any vastu, for example, you say you identify as an Indian, people will identify, will impose upon you the Indian nature in you. They will say, you are an Indian, so you will do like this, they will say. Or that's natural, because they already, in their mind, they have formed some Indianness, what Indianness means. And they will attribute that to you, and you will also act in that way. Because I'm an Indian, I will do in my way. And you're American, you'll do your way. And something like that. So what I'm saying is, wherever ahankaram goes and takes the identity, it will act accordingly, along with that. Similarly, if I'm saying I'm a human being, we will sometimes we say, we are all human beings, aren't we? We ourselves confirm that. So, naturally, in human body, a certain kinds of qualities are expected. In a human body. Even though it may not be the highest. But still, because, like, we commit some mistakes, we'll say, after all, we are human, we'll say. To err is human, we'll say. So, why? Because in human form, certain qualities are there, and that will be attributed to us. And so similarly, if I'm a man, I'm identifying that, I will act as a man. And if I identify as a woman, then I'll have to act as a woman in that way. Similarly, I belong to this family or this house, this person. So all these things is based on the upadhi. Based on the upadhi. What is, these are all upadhis, isn't it? Body, mind, intelligence, senses. All of them is upadhi. So, whichever upadhi ahankaram goes and identifies with, accordingly, all those qualities will come up, come to the ahankaram in that way. So, similarly, when this ahankaram goes and joins Atma, immediately he experiences the ahankaram, experiences the qualities of the Atma with his Satya Chitta Anandam. Just like it goes and identifies with the body, mind, intelligence and other things in this world and accept the qualities of those things, ahankaram takes it. Similarly, if ahankaram goes and identifies with the Atma, Atma's quality will develop in that person. Will develop in that person. When it goes to Jadam, he says that that he is Jadam. When he goes to Chit, which is Atma, he says there, I am Chit. So this Chit and Achit, that form, that ahankaram is the cause of these three different things, what we call as tanmatras, senses, and then the mind. So from we saw there, tamasa ahankaram came the tanmatra, rajasa ahankaram came the senses, and the satya ahankaram comes the mind. Now one thing, even though we say mind, generally the word used is andhakaranam. Andhakaranam means subtle body. That includes four. Mind, intelligence, manasa buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. But sometimes ahankaram is the leader there. Sometimes mind is the leader. It's sometimes difficult because one force is acting in four different ways. Sometimes as mind, sometimes as intelligence, sometimes as chit, and sometimes as ahankaram. So that is it. So, And that Krishna is clarifying a little bit more in the next verse. If you look, you will see there.
Arthastan matriya janye tamasad indriyani cha taijasa devada asan ekadasha cha vaikritan. Arthastan matriya janye tamasad indriyani cha taijasa devada asan ekadasha cha vaikritan. Tanmatriya tamasad artha janye.
So tamasahangaram, these five elements were born. Tajasahangaram, senses were born. And Satyahangaram, mind was born.
Maya sanshodhida bhava sarve samhatya karinaha andal upadava ulpadayama asur mama yadanam uttamam.
Then Krishna is saying that all these things which has come from the Mahatattvam. From Mahatattvam they have all come. From that Mahatattvam they have come, and due to my presence, when Krishna says my presence, what he is referring as Atma, present in that, consciousness in other words. Because of that they became powerful. All of them became powerful. And due to that, Brahmandam or creation has come. Now, here, in that eighth verse, you will see that artham. Arthasan matriya jetni tamasad indriyanicha.
Artham means it is from that everything else has come. Tanmatra sparsharuba sabdasparsharuba rasagandham.
They came one after the other. All of them didn't happen in one lot. That also we have to know. First came the sound. From sound came what? Space. Isn't it? Space came from the sound. And from the space came form. No. Air. No. Space came touch. Touch came air. That is that sequence. That's what Krishna is saying here.
That arthasan matriya jetni, the way the creation happened. From Mahatattvam that has come. Mahatattvam came ahangaram. And then ahangaram has turned, and then this further creation goes on from there. He's saying that when it came to tanmatra, which has come from tamasahangaram, they were all in their subtle form. So, first sound, and from sound came space. Space came touch. Touch came air.
Shabda, right?
Yeah. From air came form. And form came fire. Fire came taste. And taste came water came smell. And smell came the earth. This is the sequence in which the elements have come. All the elements that come. So, one after the other. Now, when they came like this. When it all gets dissolved, what happens? The opposite way it starts. First the earth goes and dissolves in the smell. Then the smell will go and dissolves in the water. Water will go and dissolve in the taste. Taste will go and dissolve in the fire. And the fire will go and dissolve in the form. Form will go and dissolve in the air. Air will go and dissolve in the sky, space. And the sky will go and dissolve in the sound. Opposite way. When devastation happens, that is the sequence. Reverse way. While creation this way, while devastation the opposite way. Opposite way. So, and finally, they will go back to ahangaram again. They will all go back to ahangaram. And that ahangaram, from which has come in form of these three, satyam, rajasam, tamasam, similarly five elements, subtle elements, and then the senses, and then the mind, that thing reverse way, it goes back in the same way.
dissolving one after the other. And at that time, there is a process that in this way, how elements have come and gone back, there is a meditation process based on that. Meditation process centered around this. And by doing that, what will happen is, Veshti Samashti difference will go. I don't know whether you understand that. That means, now we have Veshti form, us. Samashti form, the whole thing. In our mind, we are thinking separate from that. That is us and we are that. There is no difference. To get rid of that is very difficult from inside, isn't it? Because we think, I've come to this world, I'm going away from this world. World is there always. So therefore, the problem is that at no point you are thinking that you are that world. What is in us is there in the world. What is in the world is there in us. Same five elements only, nothing else. So inside us now, there is a misunderstanding. Veshti and Samashti, two things. Veshti Samashti Bhedam, it is called. So in order to avoid this Veshti Samashti Bhedam, it is an ajnanam, it is. Avidya, it is inside. To get rid of that, because when you are talking about soul, consciousness, you can't carry all these differences in the matter with you. This has no meaning there, is it not? In the spiritual world, that's why sometimes we ask question, how is the plants and the trees in the spiritual world? We want to understand that. If you want to understand that, first you have to come out of this misunderstanding here. Here we have a big misunderstanding. What is that big misunderstanding? Big misunderstanding is that I am something different than the world. World is made of so many different things. I am made of something different. That's my misunderstanding at the moment. But if you manage to understand that the world is made of these five material elements, I am also made of these five material elements, and in the Veshti Samashti level, that if I am able to come out of that, then there is a process of meditation for that. For that. That's another. Upanishads gives you all sorts of options. You have a very wide variety there to do what you want. They are called vidya, different kinds of vidya. Akshipurusha vidya, Upakosala vidya, Dahara vidya. In different Upanishads, different methods, where it is used is, in the ancient times, when the students went to the teacher will understand the student's difficulty. So he has to use different methods to get him out of that ajnanam inside. So for example, someone is very strongly fixed up in the matter. The teacher will know that, what his difficulty is. So therefore, he will teach him by different process, different techniques, so that somehow or the other, he wants a message to get in. So, and he knows what is that avidya or ajnanam inside him that is stopping him in getting the truth. So, this is one of those process whereby Veshti Samashti difference, Bhedam. Veshti Samashti Bhedam, remove it from inside, from that person. Once that Veshti Samashti Bhedam has gone, you will know that these five material elements is in me, which is in the world. Therefore, that part of it is of me, is a part of the world. Prakriti. Then what is left then? Only Atma, mind, intelligence and the senses. All the gross body has gone away from you then. Isn't it? If Veshti Samashti Bhedam, if it is properly realized, this has to be realized, but proper thought, thinking is required in all these things. If through that thinking process, if that happens, then the advantage is that attachment to the body will go. Because once you have known that you are not this body, then you won't care for it anymore. The idea behind all this thing is, somehow or the other, to create a feeling inside that I have no connection with this body. It's not easy, isn't it? Just by saying, Dehinosmin Yada Dehe, it's not going to happen. That won't happen. It will stay in the verse only. It won't go deeper than that. But therefore, the rishis who knows this science well, they have taken different methods, whichever way possible, to bring you out of this body, thing called body. And that is how these things were developed. In Dakshinamurti Stotram also, Acharya Swamiji uses this process. And he says there that this Tattva Samhita, this Tattvam, somehow or the other he wants that to happen to you, that you are not the body. That's all the idea behind it. And now I have got the problem with the body, with the mind, with the intelligence, with the ego, everything. So there is different processes by which I can come out of the body, I can come out of the mind, I can come out of the intelligence, I can come out of the senses, everything. Various processes they will try, who? The rishis. Rishis try all these things. That is how they taught their students the spiritual knowledge. They gave it to them. And therefore, they use that process. I think we'll have a break now.
Chedo darpanam arjanam bhavamahada vagni nirvavanam shreyakkaidava chandriya vidaranam vidyavadhu jivanam anandambudivardhanam pradivada purna amrita swadhanam sarvapna suvanam varam jayade shri krishna sankirtanam nam namagari bahuda nija sarva shakti tatrarpita nimida smaranena kalam Edadrishitava Kripa Bhagavan Mamami Dundevami Drishamihajani Nanuragaham Tranara Vishuni Chenam Ravi Saheshruna Amani Namana Dena Kirtaniya Sadahari Nathanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavidam Vajagadi Shakamaye Mama Janmani Janmani Shwari Bhavada Bhaktiragahirtuhi Nandatanujakingaram paditamam shame bhavambudo kripaya tava pada pangajastita duli sadrasham chindayam nayanam galada shudharaya vadanam gadgadarudhaya gira pulagar nichidam kadavavo tavannam agrahane bhavishyati yuga idam nimeshena chakshusha pravisha idam shunya idam jagal sarvam govinda virahename Padaradam Pinashtumam Adarshanam Marmahadam Karyotuva Yathatadava Vidadadilambado Malpranatha Sunayevanaparam.
So elements, their birth, how they were born, different elements, how they were born from one to another, first in the gross form, subtle form, and then the gross form, then the subtle form, then the gross form. In that way, earth, water, air, ether and fire. So that process by which we remove that difference between the Veshti and Samashti. When we identify with matter, that means with this body strongly, you will see that we are different from the world. Actually, we are not. This body is a part of this world, isn't it? Made of the same stuff. Made of earth, water, ether, fire. Body is made of earth, water, ether, fire. So, there is a process by which through meditation process, dissolving everything in the body in the earth. Dissolving everything in the body in the earth. Similarly, earth dissolves in the water and finally forgetting the body itself, coming out of the body itself. Everywhere there is water, in other words. And then all the things what is in the water dissolves in the fire. All the things in the water dissolves in the fire. Then everything that is in the fire dissolves in the air. And everything in the air dissolves in the sky. dissolves in the sky. And then finally, everything that is in the sky dissolves in the sun, Aditya. And sun dissolves in the moon. Moon dissolves in the jiva. And jiva dissolves in Ishvara. This is that meditation process, how it goes. This is another path. You see, path is not only one. Sometimes we can tell everyone, this is the only way. That's not the only way. There's so many ways in spiritual life that depending on one's taste, one follows that road. This is one of the processes among the yogis who follow this process, based on their traditions, whatever it may be. So those who follow this process, they also realize the truth of the, what they call it as tattvanubhuti. Tattvanubhuti means how to realize that all these tattvams have come from one truth, the origin, from where these are all called tattvam. Which one? Earth, water, air, ether, fire, mind, intelligence, ego, senses, and gross body. They are all tattvams. They are called tattvam. And remember, Krishna talked to Uddhava about this. Uddhava asked the question, how so many tattvams have come? Krishna says there is only one tattvam. But that one tattvam is spoken according, it has become sometimes 3, sometimes 5, sometimes 7, sometimes 9, sometimes 17, sometimes 28. All depending on how you want to look at them. 5 material elements, you can say it as one tattvam, you can call it as 5 tattvam also. Mind, you can call intelligence, ego, all together you can call it as one tattvam. You can call it as 3 tattvam or 4 tattvam. So that is how the difference in the numbers came. Remember, a few chapters before Uddhava asked the question. So there we have seen, and Krishna is saying here that that is also in the Dakshinamurti Stotram. Ajari Swami has taken this and put it there, and he says there that the Bhurambhas Analo Anilambaram Aham Artho Himamshu Puman Nityabhadi Saracharalpagamidam Yasyaiva Murti Ashtagam Nanyal Kinjana Vidyade Vimrishatam Yasmal Parasmal Vibho Tasmai Shri Gurumurtaye Nama Idam Shri Dakshinamurtaye. From Lord Shiva's Dakshinamurti, as Dakshinamurti, he teaches knowledge to the sages about transcendental knowledge. Therefore, he is considered as the Characharalpa Guru of the those who are following that process. That is Bhu Rambhasi Analo Anilambaram Aham Artho Himamshu Puman. All these 5 material elements, they have come one after the other. Eventually they all get dissolved and goes back into whom? Nityabhadi Characharalpagamidam Yasseiva Murti Ashtagam. As he said this here, that 5 elements goes back and becomes the sky and eventually dissolves in the sun and then in the moon. And then in the jiva, and jiva in the Ishvara. Ishvara goes and dissolves there. So, that process is through Shravanam, Mananam, Nididhyasanam. The 3 things what one has to do. If you do like that, a lot of experience will come from that process. Acharya mentions there, Sarvatmagatvam, Sarvatmatvam idi spudigradamidam yasmad amushmin satsuve tenasya shravanal tadartha mananal dhyanarcha sankirtanal sarvatmatvam mahavibhuti sahidam syad ishwaratvam sodaha siddhyel tad punarashtatha ashtatha parinadam aishwaryam avyahadam. We will discuss this Dakshinamurti Sotram later sometime because they are, that's a topic of its own. All he is saying there is that through this process of the mananam shravanam, mananam nididhyasanam, on this tattvam, the way it is spoken, through the process of these 5 material elements dissolving, finally goes to the moon, and then moon to the sun to the moon, and then the moon to the jiva, and jiva goes back to Ishvara. Now, you can understand one thing here, that our understanding of moon, what is it? What is our understanding of moon? We say we have gone there, isn't it? Now, you know why Prabhupada was against it? You have to understand Prabhupada's position on this. What he's saying to us is that when we leave this world, You see, Vedam is not meant for proving like the science. It's not meant for that. Either you have to have the faith and acceptance of the authority, or you have to reject completely. Prabhupada's position is this. What he's saying to us is that we have got two ways while leaving this body. Is it not? Devayanam, Pitriyanam. You know that. It is in the Bhagavad Gita. Now, Devayanam is pretty straightforward, but it's very rare. Majority of the people go through Pitriyanam. Devayanam is, that means you have going through the path of the demigods, planets, and then to Brahmalokam, like that. That means you are escaping from the karma mandala, practically. But that is very rare cases. Very, very rare cases that happens. Almost all, you could say, is Pitriyanam. Pitriyanam means that we go to the Pitralokam. From Pitralokam, when decision is made where to accept the body, in which conditions and all that, we comes back here. At that time, while dying, leaving this body, senses all go back. The predominating deities of the senses will go up, will go back. So we have to retrieve them back again while we accept our next body. Generally, Pitriyanam is for people who have done a lot of good things and who have done a lot of bad things also. Majority of us are in that category, I suppose. I don't know, but that's where I feel about some things good we have done and a lot of bad things also we have done. So when that is the result, end result, normally the process for them is Pitriyanam. What Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, Pitriyanam. That means we have another body. We will have another body. And that process that we go to the Pitralokam, Pitralokam we come back again, back to this world. But while coming back, the jiva has to come through the moon. So to say to anybody that there is no life in the moon is not acceptable. It's not acceptable because all the jiva on the return journey, while coming back with another body, they have to come through the moon. And it is on their journey back through the moon that all those senses we have left behind before, we retrieve them back and bring it with us. Coming back to the new body. Coming back to the new body. So, it is for this reason that Prabhupada was very adamant on that. He says, if I say that what you are saying to me, that there's only rock there, there's nothing else there, that's your gross understanding. I'm not looking at the moon in that way. Here you can see that even the sun planet eventually dissolves in the moon, which is pretty different than what science is telling. I don't know what the science is saying correctly, precisely. I think somewhere I may be wrong, that they say that the moon has come out from the sun or something like that. And it is the moon is dependent on the sun, it's reflecting and all. That's another thing. That is from the material point of view, from the outside vision. But from the spiritual point of view, Krishna's point is here that this what Prabhupada has spoken, Acharya Swamiji also completely supports that. It doesn't agree with this science. As far as they are concerned, who comes in the Vedic tradition, their authority is Vedam, not the science. What you have experimented, you have found, and research you have found, and by your other processes you have found out, that's another thing. As far as they are concerned, it has no use to them. Today they say that moon has come from sun. Tomorrow they can also say the sun has come from the moon, because they are not sure yet about it. Is it not? Anyway, that's not our headache. It's not our problem also. Main thing is, what Krishna is saying here, because the yogis, they have used this process of meditation. It is called a bhutalayam. Bhutalayam means dissolving one bhudam into another bhudam. Bhutalayam. Layam means dissolving. That's what's happening here, isn't it? You are dissolving earth into water, water into fire, fire into air, air into space. So dissolving one element into another element, that is called a bhutalayam. Bhutalayam. So this, if you do that, Prabhupada is saying, Krishna is saying here, you can realize yourself in that way. So Swarupani Anubhuti, but all this requires a lot of strength inside. It's not for people like us. But there is a process, that's all we have to know. So, and not only that, through this Budhalaya process, Budhalayam they call it, also this Ashta Aishwarya Siddhis, you remember? Aishwarya Siddhi. Aishwarya Siddhi means the mystic powers, opulences. What Krishna discussed before, Anima, Lekhima, Mahima, Garima, all those things, Ma, 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 all that thing. The ability to, because you are controlling the elements then. Once you have got control of the elements, because that's what happens here, you get the control of the elements. That means sitting here, you can listen to the conversation of two people having in America while sitting here. You can enter into somebody else's body because you have managed to dissolve the element one to another. That means you have got a control over the elements practically through this process, Budhalayam. Budhalayam it's called. So it is a yogic process, and Krishna is saying Aishwarya Siddhis, eight kinds of Aishwarya Siddhi. What Krishna we discussed in the, I think in the 19th chapter or earlier, I'm not sure. One of them where Krishna says about Aishwarya Siddhi, and finally Krishna says they are of not much use in the self-realization. He said that, isn't it? But Aishwarya Siddhis will come through this Bhutalayam process. Bhutalayam process. So, suppose, if it is done, suppose it did not happen, Bhutalayam process, only when it becomes perfect, you will have Aishwarya Siddhis. Not otherwise, sir. It takes a long time. There are people heavily committed to spiritual life. You know that. Everybody is not like us, half this, half that. There are some people, we are very heavily committed to spiritual life. And they are the people who follow into the yogic process and all that. Go to the Himalayas, and in the past there are many like that, who have escaped from this world because such a strong degree of vairagyam had come, and very strong vasana from previous life has followed them. So they have given away everything and gone looking for the truth. It is those people who takes to these processes. So, what they are saying is that even if you don't get all these Aishwarya Siddhi, you know what it means, that you can enter into somebody else's body. Paragaya Pravesham, it is called. Suppose I want to enter into your body and see what's all going on inside you, what all you're thinking about, it is possible. You can leave your body, get into somebody else's body. Shankaracharya has done that in two occasions. It is mentioned in his history. He had to do that. So he could do that. They are jnanis, they are yogis, and they are devotees. Everything they have. That is what makes them great. So if you read the history, you will see he left his body somewhere and goes and enters into, because when discussion started between him and Mandana Mishra. Mandana Mishra was the famous authority on the Karma Mimamsa at that time. And in Bihar, at that time, his name was called Mandana Mishra. That was his name. So, Mandana Mishra, Acharya Swamiji went up to him to have a discussion with him. When he went to discuss with him, Mandana Mishra was sitting there and he was performing some sacrifice. Karma Gandhis they are called. Karma Mimamsa. They are performing some sacrifice and with him, Vedavyas was sitting there. They were sitting together. Vedavyas and Mandana Mishra were sitting together. Shankaracharya went there and he wanted to discuss with Mandana Mishra and to prove to him higher than Karma Mimamsa is Vedantam. That was his goal. That was the purpose of the discussion. So when he went there to discuss, at that particular time, whole of Bharatavarsham was popular with Karmagandam. Karmagandam was very famous. And Mandana Mishra was their top person, top leader, we can say, the biggest exponent of that. And there was also another personality called Kumarila Bhatta, which you will see from this Bhatta Mimamsa came, another tradition from that. So when he went up to see him, Mandana Mishra did not take very serious attention, give much attention to Shankaracharya or his Vedanta philosophy. Vedavyas was sitting there. So finally, Vedavyas told Mandana Mishra that you should have a discussion with him about Vedantam and about Karma Mimamsa. So between Mandana Mishra and Acharya, there was a discussion there, and in the discussion, Mandana Mishra lost. The judge was Mandana Mishra's daughter. She was called Sarasavani. Sarasavani actually is an incarnation of Saraswati. Mandana Mishra is an incarnation of Brahma. That is what they say in the history. So, practically you can see, Mandana Mishra had a debate with Shankaracharya, and that debate he lost. And who was the judge? His own daughter, who was Saraswati, who was called as Sarasavani, she was the daughter. What she did was, she gave one garland to Acharya and one garland to Mandana Mishra, and told, you continue the debate, and whosoever garland fades first, he has to consider that he has lost it. So apparently they debated each other for a very long period of time. And one day, Mandana Mishra's garland started fading. He lost it. And when he lost the debate, he accepted the discipleship of Shankaracharya. He became his disciple. They were like that. They were great personalities. They don't have ego like us. And they accept the discipleship. And Shankaracharya initiated him to Advaita Vedantam and brought him and installed as the first Acharya in Sringeri. So Mandana Mishra became Sureshwara Acharya and became the first Acharya in the Sringeri Math. If you go to Sringeri, Sringeri Math is very famous. So many great, great Acharyas came from there. So what we are talking about is that this Bhutalayam, what is discussed there, in that instance, before he went to discuss with Mandana Mishra, there was a problem. Problem was that when Mandana Mishra and Acharya was discussing, there was discussion about Grihastha Dharma, householder life. Mandana Mishra is a householder. Acharya is a sannyasi. So Mandana Mishra told him, you have no right to discuss householder life. You have never been a householder. What do you know about householder life? He said to him. So Acharya told him, give me some time. Then I'll go and become a householder and come back again, he said. So what did he do? He left his body there and went and became the king of a famous king who died in Bengal at that time. Some name mentioned, Lakshmana Sena or something like that. He went and the king was dead in Bengal. Acharya goes and enters into his body. So because the king was dead, the queen and all the ministers, they were all feeling very sad about the death of the king. And suddenly the king has woken up. King came back to life because Acharya has gone and entered into his body. And staying in this body, in that body, Acharya had a relationship with the wife of the king. And had a householder life. No children or anything, but had a householder life. And then he left that body and comes back and gets into the old body again, which was guarded by his disciples. The old body. What guarded by? So this capacity to leave your body, get into another body, leave that body, comes back to your own body. All this is possible. And that is called Paragaya Pravesham. It's called Paragaya Pravesham. Ability to get into somebody else's body and live there. So when he came back, he told Mandana Mishra, I was a householder. I can tell you everything about householder life, he said. And that is how he talks to him about householder life. And eventually, anyway, Mandana Mishra lost the debate. So what I'm saying here is that the Paragaya Pravesham, Dura Shravanam, what's happening far, far away, sitting here, you can hear what's going on there. Similarly, incidents, what's happening far away, thousands of miles away, sitting here, you can see them. What's happening in the higher planets, what's happening in the lower planets, from here you can observe. That's all passed on this Aishwarya Siddhi, Ashta Aishwarya Siddhi. Eight major Aishwarya Siddhis. And that comes from Krishna. Krishna says that. It comes from him. That cannot be developed. It has to be given by Krishna. Otherwise you won't have it. You can't develop it. Then there is 16 other minor ones spoken. That you can get it by your effort. Your effort you can get them. They are smaller ones. Not as important as this. You can make bigger than the biggest, smaller than the smallest, heavier than the heaviest, lighter than the lightest. You can see Krishna has used all these Aishwarya Siddhis during his pastimes in Vrindavanam, Mathura and Dwaraka. All the three places. He has used them. Because all of them are in full in Krishna. When he jumped on Kamsa from the arena where they were wrestling with Chanura and Mushtiya, Kamsa was sitting on a huge platform. What did Krishna do? Krishna didn't fight with Kamsa. All Krishna has done was, he jumped from the arena and Kamsa is sitting on a higher level. He made his body lighter than the lightest. That means Krishna could fly in the sky like anything, like a free person. He was flying. And when he got there, he made the body so heavy. And Kamsa, out of fear, got up from the seat. And Krishna jumped on him. And that fall was sufficient. Kamsa was dead. With the weight of Krishna, Krishna's weight, Kamsa was dead. So this particular mystic power, Ashtaishwari Siddhi, Krishna utilized it while killing Kamsa. Similarly, you will see, when Krishna jumped into the Kaliya, into the Yamuna river, from the Kaliya tree, from the, sorry, Kadamba tree, or Nipam tree, what they call, that all the water in the river went away to such a long distance. It mentions in the Bhagavatam, you can see. How did that happen? Because of the weight Krishna has exerted in the water, that the water started flowing everywhere, and that made Kaliya get disturbed. Kaliya was disturbed by thinking that some heavy power has come into the water. So Aishwarya Siddhi, Krishna is used in various pastimes. In the 10th canto, you will notice that. And those Aishwarya Siddhis can come through this Bhutalayam process, if it is done perfectly, not otherwise. But that is not possible these days. This is all for to understand the depth of science, the spiritual life. That's all talking about it. So, Bhutalayam it's called. Now, Prapancham, creation, is Bhutabhautikam, isn't it? Bhutabhautika Prapancham it is called. This Prapancham is called Bhutabhautikam. Bhutabhautikam means is made of five material elements, five panchabhutam, and if the mixture of that is this prapancham, creation, bhuta bhautika prapancham. So, so another interesting thing, this prapancham or creation is what is blocking our vision of the truth inside. Do you see what I'm saying? See, why are we not able to become conscious of Atma inside? What's blocking us? That's this world. Is it not? Do you know what I'm saying? That because we are caught up in the world, absorbed in the world, and identifying with the world all the time, we are not able to withdraw ourselves from the world and think that we are something different than the world. All we know is this body, mind, intelligence and the world. So, this is called Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham. And Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham, that includes this whole creation, because creation takes most of our attention. Is it not? Because of creation. Why do we go to run to the Mars and Moon and all other places? Because attracted by the creation. So creation is taking away our Shraddha from the truth inside. And plus the body, mind, intelligence, ego, all these things. All these things combined together is called Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham. Creation. Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham. So, and this Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham is puts a block in front of us, not allowing us to go to our own real pure identity as Atma. We want to be in our pure consciousness, who we are, isn't it? Atma Swarupa, Brahmasmi stage. We want to be Aham Brahmasmi. But something is not helping us to come to that, Aham Brahmasmi. And what is that? Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham. That Prapancham takes our energy, attention, everything from us. So, in our vision, our realization of the truth, there is a big screen between the two. And that screen is this creation. Prapancham. Or Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham. And that Bhuta Bhautika Prapancham, if it gets completely dissolved, then you will experience directly Surubhanubhuti. That means you will know who you are. Today, what is not allowing you to know who you are is this creation, Bhautika Prapancham, which is made of material elements. So the purpose of dissolving these material elements is If you get it dissolved one after the other, they will not be existing for you anymore. They go away. That means the curtain has gone away and you will start seeing who you are. Aham Brahmasmi awareness will come from that. Your identity as Atma will come. Identity as Atma will come. This is one process that is spoken here. And and in that process, finally, Ahankaram also gets destroyed. Ahankaram or ego gets destroyed. And what remains then is only pure awareness, pure soul. Nitya Shuddha Buddha Mukta Swarupam of Chaitanyam alone remains. So, this subtle way of eliminating the elements from us, in a subtle way, eliminating that. So, Krishna is saying here, in this way, through Bhudalayam process, it is possible to experience the self. It is possible to experience the self. Swanibhuti, that's the word they use. So, so, you remember we spoke about this before. From Tanmatra, Tanmatra, they came from Tamasahangaram, is it not? All the Tanmatra, they came from Tamasahangaram. And so that means from Tamasahangaram came Tanmatra. Tanmatra means what? Tanmatra means Tadagaram Avastha Tanmatra. That is the definition. Tadagaram Avastha Tanmatra. Let us understand it, for example. See, for example, if you take apple, what is the tanmatra of apple? The seed of the apple. Is its tanmatra? Is the tanmatra? Suppose I got some lovely apples, very tasty, very good quality apples. And after tasting that, I want to have them again later, but it's not available. And I'm going somewhere else, far away, and I can't get this apple there anymore. So what do I do? If I take these apples, the six apples what's left with me, if I go there, by then they'll get rotten over a period of time. But suppose if I take the seeds of this apple, if I go there, I plant those, provided the other things are favorable, with them from those seeds, if there is sufficient water, sunshine, good earth, another tree will come from that seeds, and I can have the same apples what I enjoyed here, there also. Is it not? So therefore, that seed is capable of producing another apple, like what you have enjoyed here, even if it is somewhere else. Therefore, that seed is the tanmatra of this apple. Seed is the tanmatra of this apple. In a similar way, everything in this world has its own tanmatra. That's called panchatanmatra. You will see five tanmatras in the same way. So, it is that tanmatra, it is called the sense object. These are all, you have to think in a different way. Don't think like the way we are taught in the school and colleges. That's a different way of analyzing things. Krishna is saying here, tanmatra is called the sense objects because you can see earth, water, air, ether, fire, right? What is their tanmatra? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. When it comes to tanmatra, it becomes a sense object. You see? It becomes a sensual experience. That's why it's called a tanmatra. When it is in its gross form, it's an element. Earth, water, air, ether, fire is an element. Gross form it is. But when it comes to tanmatra, it becomes what is known as a subtle form. In other words, at that time you can experience it. Water is experienced in the form of taste. Earth is experienced in the form of smell. And fire is experienced in the form of And air is experienced in the form of touch. By then it has become subtle, is it not? So in a subtle form, you can experience it. In the gross form, you can only see it. That's the big difference. So therefore, Therefore, instead of earth, you can accept smell. And instead of water, you can accept the taste. And instead of fire, you can accept the form. And similarly, instead of air, you can accept the touch. Instead of the sky, you can accept the sound. They are one and the same. Only thing is, they are the tanmatra of the gross element. That much if you remember, that's enough. Now, when that sound, which is in its tanmatra form, when it expands, it becomes its gross form and it becomes the space. Do you see the relationship between the two? Shabdam or sound, when it expands, it becomes and manifests in the form of space. Similarly, touch, sense of touch, that is what is, then you will see that sparsham, that sound has expanded, shabdam has expanded, become the space. Space expands further and becomes another thing called sparsham. It is the space which has expanded and become touch. Touch has become, how do they call it, that sense of touch, that has become the, in the air. It has become the air. And air has expanded and become form. Form has solidified and became fire. Fire has expanded and became taste. Taste is solidified and became water. So two things are going on. One side it is expanding, other side it is solidifying. It is solidifying. Solidifying, that's the right word. Becoming a solid. So, shabdam, sound, expanded and became the sky. Sky and and space has expanded into sparsham, touch. Touch has solidified and became air. Air expanded and became form. Form solidified and became fire. Fire expanded into taste. Taste solidified into water. Water expanded into smell. Smell solidified into earth. That is how that changes happen. So, one after the other, it keeps dissolves and finally it goes back, as we say that before. So, if you keep on remembering this continuously, will they get destroyed, these elements? That's a good question, isn't it? Suppose I keep remembering this process all the time, how one came from the other, upward and downward, both. Downward from space to the earth, and upward from earth to the space, or to the sound. From started from the sound, isn't it? And ended up in the earth. This process, if I keep on remembering, will it disappear? Shastram says yes. That's the thing. For us it won't disappear, I know it won't. But Shastram says yes. Just look at the rishis, what all things they have found out. Which experimental laboratory can tell you these things? Except what the rishis have given to us, no science can go anywhere closer to that. What they are telling us, the secret, they are saying that, you are asking this question, where all this has come from? The answer is here, they are saying. That their answer is, that power of remembrance, that's what they are saying. So, these elements have come into existence. How did they come to us, first of all? By remembrance only. By remembrance only. In my remembrance, memory, I have established separately water, earth, fire, air, ether. All the five elements. I got it established based on the five tanmatras. Five subtle elements, isn't it? The subtle form. It is through the subtle form I made contact with the gross form. The Shabda Sparsha Rupa Rasa Gandham, they are the subtle forms. Through my senses, I started experience these five things. And when I started experiencing these five subtle elements, I made contact with the five gross elements. So you can say that it is only when I made contact with the five subtle elements, these five gross elements has come into existence. Shastram is asking us, with the same power with which you have created the five material elements, it is possible to bring them back and dissolve them inside before they have come out, like the way they have come out. That is that process. Do you understand what I'm saying? I don't know whether how far it is connected with that. What Shastram is saying, this when we discuss Dakshinamurti Sotram, we will discuss it. But Krishna is discussing Sankhyam here. In Sankhyam, this is important. That these elements, relationship is important. We think all different, isn't it? Elements, atoms, molecules, this, that, so many things we are saying like this. Shastram is saying there is not many, there is only one. Provided you know how to make it all into one. And we got this variegatedness of five. At the moment there is five, let's take it that way. Which one? Earth, water, air, ether, fire. How did they come? Because those five material elements is experienced in our senses. In the form of Shabdam, Sparsham, Rupam, Rasam, Gandham. So, five subtle elements, five material elements is experienced by us in its subtle form as Tanmatra. Tanmatra. So, through Tanmatra, we came into contact with the gross material elements. And those gross material elements became God established in us. In our memory, in our knowledge, in our action, everywhere, we are accepting these five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire. What Shastram is saying to us, this acceptance of the five material elements has come only because Atma inside has come through the mind and the senses and made contact with them and you have accepted them. Is it not possible? In the same way that it has come from Atma, the same power, if it withdraws back everything, all the elements, it can all go back and dissolve itself in the source where it came from. That is this Bhutalayam process, what we are talking about. Bhutalayam process. So, that Smarana is a very powerful thing. Smarana means remembrance, isn't it? That remembrance is a very powerful thing. So, Krishna says here, asking the question to us, you are thinking that this dissolving that is not possible, but I am dissolving it every night in your deep sleep. Is it not? In the deep sleep, where is earth, where is air, where is water, where is fire, where is space, where is time? So that deep sleep state is an indication that if you have the capacity to do that, Buddha Bhaudiya Pravancham, you can dissolve everything and completely destroy them in you. They are existing. See, all the body is existing because we have accepted these material elements. That is why they are existing in us. If we learn the technique how to dissolve them, they can all be brought together, earth, water, ether and fire, and can be dissolved one after the other and brought back into one unit and finally completely get rid of them from inside. And that is what Krishna is saying here also, that Buddha Sushupti state, you are dissolving it every night. Is it not? Are we not dissolving them? Only thing is, not done knowingly. It happens to us. So, if in the nature, material nature has got the capacity to do that, Krishna is asking us, you could have that capacity as well. How to dissolve that, like the way material nature is dissolving. Only thing is, at the moment, we don't have that capacity to do it. This is what the rishis are talking about. Rishis' arguments are that some of the amazing things, what you won't read or hear or talk about elsewhere, scientists are working completely on the element level. on the element level. They haven't even got a clue that there is another force behind operating all these things. Whereas rishis are taking elements are the most least important thing in the whole process. They are the last step in the sense that lowest level, elements. Elements are on the lowest level. For science, elements are on the highest level. Is it not? Analyzing the elements is so important for them that they were saying atomic number and molecules and then all, I don't know, so many things like that. Is it not? But from the rishi's point of view, why do you waste your time analyzing these elements? That's what they are asking us. Elements are nothing important. Since elements can be taken out very quickly, going more inward towards the mind, towards the intelligence, that's why you can see Annamayam. This is from the rishi's point, from the Ashtanga Yoga side. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam, Anandamayam. So Annamayam is on the lowest level, in the elements level. When it gets a little bit more subtle, becomes Pranamayam. More subtle, became Manomayam. Much more subtle is Vijnanamayam. Annamayam, Pranamayam, Manomayam, Vijnanamayam. And then, even when Vijnanamayam goes away, is Anandamayam. The last step comes. Yogi state. So when the elements, Sushupti state, Buddha Bhaudika Prapancham, this creation disappears. We don't have an experience of that. So, why did that happen? Because reason for that is, in the Sushupti state, mind has gone. Is it not? Mind goes away. That is why the world doesn't exist. World is in the mind. Where else is it? So, similarly, from there you can understand, world is nothing but a product of the mind. Manomayam, it is called. Manomayam. World is Manomayam. The world is according to your mind. That is why we all see the world differently. Is it not? You will see the world one way, I'll see the world another way. Somebody else will see another way. Why? It is Manomayam. Manomayam. You perceive the world according to your mind. Somebody like the cold weather. Somebody like the hot weather. Or somebody like heavy rains. Different thing. Everyone's liking. And he likes that world. His world is a person who enjoys the snow or who enjoys skiing and things like that. His world is all the North Pole and all around there. Somebody likes nice fruits, vegetables, who wants to live in a condition like that. He likes the tropical, and that's his world. Similarly, someone else has another world. So everybody, according to their liking, their world also changes, isn't it? So the force behind that is the mind. Mind is the force behind that. And mind is based on thought waves. Thought waves is the one that influences the mind. And how did that happen? Thought waves, because of thought power. Different thought waves come. So, once you have learned the technique of dissolving the thought waves, then you won't have any more experience of the world. It will go away. Once you have learned the method of how to dissolve these thoughts. And once you have no experience of these thought waves inside the mind, then you don't require any more meditation on that. Meditation is not necessary. And that is why Krishna says here, the original experience, that you are not having any impact of the world inside anymore. Once you have learned that process of dissolving these elements, all it required is that this curtain behind the realization of the self and your experience, what is he having at the moment in the mind, that curtain in between has to go, which is this creation, Buddha Bhaudiya Prapancham. So, Buddha Bhaudiya Prapancham, the process of, once you have removed that, if you have taken out this creation from inside, then you will directly experience what is Atma, soul. That is what Krishna is saying in this Sankhya. Krishna's important message. Krishna is saying to us, if you have learned this technique, process, by which you can dissolve this Buddha Bhaudiga Prapancham,
which is actually that is causing the that is blocking your vision or experience of the soul. When I say it's a curtain, it doesn't mean for vision, yeah. It's actually what it means is that it is a block in your experience of the self. It's a blockage in your experience of the self. So therefore, Krishna is saying to Uddhava, Uddhava, this realization, once that happens, that what is that says, Tasminnaham Maya Samchodida Bhava Sarve Samhatya Karina Andam Ulpadeya Masur Mamayadanam Uttamam. Ninth verse. Then Tasmin Aham Samabhavam Ande Salila Samstido Mamanabhyam Abhut Palmam Vishwakyam Tatra Chalma Bhu. Tatra Chalma Bhu. Tatra Chalma Bhu. So these five material elements, they have come from Tamasa Hangaram, isn't it? From Tamasa Hangaram. Remember? When Hangaram got Satyam, Rajasam, Tamasam, five material elements have come from Tamasa Hangaram. Senses have come from Rajasa Hangaram. And Manasa, mind has come from Satya Hangaram. And the mind itself, due to its different functions, we call it as mind, intelligence, ego, and chittam. Four things. Four surupam. Four forms it has taken. Mind itself has taken four. Mind is one force that's coming from the chit shakti. From the chit shakti. And that one force has taken, according to its function, it's called manasa, buddhi, ahankaram, chittam. And the four combined together is called andhakaranam. What we call it as subtle body. So, that's what he's saying here. Maya sanchodida bhava sarve samhatya karina andam ulpadeya masu mamayadanam uttamam. The birth of the four different functions of that mind. The birth of that. That's what Krishna is saying in that. Maya sanchodita bhavam sarve samhatya karina andam ulpadeya masur mamayadanam uttamam. Mamayadanam uttamam. Then Brahmandam or creation from this mahatattvam, Krishna says that they became very powerful, and from ahangaram, Krishna explained, Rajasa Hangaram, Indriyam, senses have come. Tamasa Hangaram, elements have come. And the Satya Hangaram, mind has come. And that mind broke into four. Buddhi, Ahangaram, Chittam. Manasa, Buddhi, Ahangaram, Chittam. Now, once it has broken into Manasa, Buddhi, Ahangaram, Chittam, plus all the elements, five material elements, all these completely grow together, Krishna saying, that is my Andaryami of the Virad. Virad means the creation. Virad creation, Virad form. Virad form means this gross manifestation. And that became the Andaryami inside, and it gave birth to that. Now, so important thing here, that tasmin aham samabhavam ande salila samstitau mama nabhyal abhut patmam vishwakyam yatra tatra chalma bhu. Krishna is saying here that all these things what Krishna has spoken, for example, mahatattvam, ahankaram, and the three modes of nature, all of them that has affected, that means when they made contact with the three modes of material nature, Ahankaram got broken up into three. Satya, Rajasa, Tamasam, isn't it? And we have seen that from Satya Ahankaram came the Andhakaranam or mind, Rajasa Ahankaram came the senses, and Tamasa Ahankaram came the Tanmatra. So, and from Tanmatra came the five material elements, Panchabhutam. So, all these things have happened due to the presence of Chaitanyam there, living force, Chaitanyam there. None of them is products. They are not material products. It's all different forms. Form means bhavam. It's different bhavam of the same Atma. Atma's different bhavam it is. Mind is a bhavam. Intelligence is a bhavam. Do you know what that means, don't you? Bhava means it's not a gross thing. It's a way Atma will work through that bhavam. The mood, you can say. That's the mood. Mood of the mind. Mood of the intelligence. Or mood of the ahankaram. Or mood of the chittam. Whichever that may be. It's that mood is called bhavam. Or I don't know any other English word which you can explain that better. But whatever it is, I hope you get that, what I'm saying. So the bhavam of Atma is all these things. They are not any gross forms. It doesn't have any gross existence. So this bhavam, it can solidify. If you have a particular bhavam, it can solidify, and that is how we call them as mind, intelligence, ego. That is what I'm saying, that intelligence is a solidified form. Of course, we operate the head, and we say we operate the brain, and we say intelligence is there. Actually, that is why that intelligence, what we call as, is the one which comes from Atma, not the one which is operated from the brain. That intelligence is different from the bhavam that comes from the Atma. So, all of these things has happened only because of bhavam inside. For example, sankalpa vikalpam mana. Manasa has got that nature of sankalpa vikalpam. It became mind. Nishchayatmiya buddhi. When it started making decisions, it became buddhi. Similarly, everything here, Krishna says, through bhavam you can create and through bhavam you can destroy them as well. You can destroy them as well. So after that, Krishna is saying here, tasmin aham samabhavam ande salila samsthitau mama nabhyar abhut palpam vishwakhyam yatra chalmabhu. So, this, you will see what they call is Brahmandam. Brahmandam it's called. Andam means egg. It's the egg, yeah. They call it as the Hiranyagarbham. All these are, in the second canto you will read all these things. Bhagavatam, second canto. Difficult to completely understand. Only those who have a lot of exposure to the language will capture that. Hiranyagarbham, and you can see there Brahma Andam. Andam means egg. And this whole creation is considered to be an egg, Brahmandam. So in that Brahmandam, Krishna is saying here, is a mixed combination of all these things. Which all? Maya, Mahatattvam, Sutra Atmava, Ahankaram, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, and their variations. Senses, Tanmatra, Panchabhutam. All of them. So the whole cosmic manifestation, you can say that word for Brahmandam, the cosmic manifestation includes all these things. What all? We look at only the material in that. Krishna doesn't agree with that. Krishna says, cosmic manifestation means it includes Maya, Mahatattvam, Sutratma, Ahankaram, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, and their variations. Then all the senses, then Tanmatra, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham, and five material elements. And if you combine all these things together, it's called Brahmandam. Now you know what Brahmandam means. Please don't go by the way we look at the world. Like when science says cosmic manifestation, in that there is no Maya there. Is there? There's no Maya there. And there is no Mahatattvam there. There is no Sutratma there. If you look at various television programs, they have these people, what do they call it? There's a name for that. Creationists. Who brings this creation theory? There's various creation theories, isn't it? Creation theory. In none of them, you will find these things. Which one? Maya,
Mahatattvam, Sutralpa. And there is no corresponding any element in that. Them, everything is material. Everything is matter for them. Even when they talk from the Big Bang theory, if you go one step down, it is all matter. It's all matter. Even when they talk about, they say something has broken up and a loud bang happened. And they say matter was there. Matter was there. Matter existed for them. And there is no reference to Maya. There is no reference to Mahatattvam, Sutralpava or any of those things in there. Whereas for Vedantam, cosmic manifestation means Brahmandam. If you take the equivalent, in that cosmic manifestation, Maya is there, Mahatattvam is there, Sutralpava is there, Ahankaram is there. Whereas in the cosmic manifestation of the science, Ahankaram is not there. Maya is not there. Which is different, isn't it? Similarly, many of the things, what Krishna says is present in the cosmic manifestation, almost all of them is missing in the cosmic manifestation given by the science. Except the five material elements. Five material elements is the last part in the Brahmandam. Let's use that word. Brahmandam in Vedantam, in that Brahmandam, five material elements is the last thing and it's only a very small part. Five material elements. Important part is Maya, Mahatattvam, Sutratmava, Ahankaram, Sattvaguna, Rajoguna, Tamogunam, their variations, Indriyam, senses, the five Tanmatra, Shabda, Sparsha, Rupa, Rasa, Gandham, and finally the last item, material elements. You know where the problem is coming from? Because in science, you go through the eyes and start looking. Whereas in Shastram, you look it from a much deeper level. That is why it is like that. Because for us, in the science, modern science, I'm saying, you are looking through the eye. And the eye, what is the biggest thing? The world, the material elements. It's not based on the science Brahmandam you look at. In Brahmandam, you are looking at the most powerful thing first is Maya, there, who is playing this game with the material elements. And supporting that Maya, there is Mahatattvam, there is Sutralpav, there is Ahankaram, there is three Gunam, Sattugunam, Rajogunam, Tamogunam, and their variations, then the senses, then the Tanmatras, and finally, the last, but the least thing, important thing, is these five material elements. That is why this so difference in our explanation of the creation in the Vedantam and in the science. So you see where the difference is coming from. So, when this Brahmandam, this Brahmandam, its existence is depend on Ishvara. Ishvara. That form of Ishvara, when Ishvara exists, this Gunabhavam exists. Gunabhavam means three modes of material nature. Brahmam is Nirgunam. Brahmam, pure consciousness, is not touched by Gunam. It's not touched by Gunam. Therefore, it is called Nirgunam. It is beyond the modes. Modes of nature is only in the Brahmandam. In Nirguna Brahmam, there is no modes of nature. There is no modes of nature. Modes of nature is inside the Brahmandam. So when Nirguna Brahmam, which is transcendental, beyond the three modes of nature, when it is in contact with the Prakriti, when it is in contact with Maya, and became the controller of Maya within the Prakriti, he is called Ishvara. You see? You have to know what's the difference between Ishvara. Of course, in Brahma Samhita, that famous verse is there. Ishvara Parama Krishna Sachidananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarvakarana Karanam. That verse is there. You must not think. Now, generally our tendency will be to think that Krishna is Ishvara. Isn't it? Krishna is Ishvara. Agreed, Krishna is Ishvara. But Krishna, Ishvara is only one aspect of Krishna. That is the important thing. But for most of the people who think that, oh, there is a God living upstairs somewhere there, and I am here and the world is there. Jiva Ishvara Jagat. That's called Jiva Ishvara Jagat. All religions in this world goes up to that level. Jiva, Jagat and Ishvara. Finish. There is nothing more than that. In every other religion, I am saying, in Vedantam, that is on a lower level. Why? Because who is Ishvara? When you come to the precise definition of Ishvara, in the Vedantam says to us that when that Chaitanyam, Nirguna Brahmam, which is beyond the form of Ishvara, who is in the, which is called as Saguna Brahmam, with attributes, in contact with the modes of nature, who is in contact with the modes of nature, and when he is in contact with the modes of nature, then Brahmandam is, in other words, is Upadhi for Ishvara. Ishvara's Upadhi is Brahmandam. Our Upadhi is this body, mind, intelligence and all that, isn't it? This is our Upadhi. Similarly, this whole Brahmandam, cosmic manifestation, is Ishvara's Upadhi. Ishvara's Upadhi. Ishvara, Krishna becomes Ishvara when he becomes the controller of the creation, cosmic manifestations. So when Nirguna Brahmam, that absolute truth, consciousness, pure consciousness, whom we address as Krishna, when he has accepted Brahmandam as an Upadhi, that is how he became Ishvara. How he became Ishvara. Now this word Ishvara definition, you cannot simply take it from the Puranam alone. Because if you want to understand it properly, you have to go back to Vedam. And Vedam and Upanishad says more precise definition. What is spoken in that Brahma Samhita verses is only a very preliminary way of presenting Ishvara. So that we understand that Ishvara is also Krishna. That's how we have to understand. Ishvara is also Krishna. Not that Krishna is the only Ishvara. Not like that. Ishvara is also Krishna. Ishvara is also Krishna. Krishna is another manifestation. Ishvara Parama Krishna. Ishvara Parama Krishna, when you say, it shows that there is so many other Ishvaras as well. Of all the Ishvaras, Supreme Ishvara is Krishna. That is how that word says, isn't it? That means there are other Ishvaras as well. So, Ishvaras are in different levels. Therefore, Ishvara Parama Krishna, Supreme is Krishna, Sachidananda Vigraha. He is that pure consciousness, that is Krishna as Ishvara there. So we will stop there today. And it's now 20 past 11, I think. We could have another 10 minutes kirtan and then we can have prasadam after that.